What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN. You know, guys, I know a lot of you want to watch the Formula One races. You want to watch it live. That can be difficult in America. Then one of the best ways to do that is to use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN lets you catch every race easily. You get set up in under 10 minutes and enjoy HD streams throttle free. Here's how it works. If you don't have a US cable subscription, ESPN2 is a great way to tune in. Get ExpressVPN and then connect to a server location in the US, visit YouTube TV or PlayStation View and use the free trial. It's that easy. For those of you in the UK, you can catch every race on Sky Sports F1. Get ExpressVPN, connect to a UK server, and visit Sky Sports on Now TV. ExpressVPN works on your computer, phone, router, and consoles like Fire TV, so you can watch all the games from any device. And even when I'm not watching Formula One, I've got ExpressVPN on 24/7 because it also encrypts all my data, keeping it safer from hackers. Enjoy the remaining races this season in HD with the world's most trusted VPN, ExpressVPN. Use the special link today to get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/smokingtire. That's expressvpn.com/smokingtire. 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit expressvpn.com/smokingtire. And of course, we are brought to you today by the Thinkware dash cam range. Their best and latest dash cam, the U1000, is now available. It's able to capture clear and crisp videos of your drive. The U1000 is the very first two-channel dash cam in the world to boast a native 4K UHD front and a 2K QHD rear resolution. In addition to its amazing video quality, the U1000 can save you money with its speed and red light camera alerts, or make you a safer driver with lane departure and front collision warnings. With the convenient remote live view and parking impact alert cloud features, you can instantly check on your car or be notified of potential hit and runs. The U1000 and Thinkware's full range of dash cams are available online and in-store at thinkware.com, Best Buy, and Amazon in the U.S. and Canada. And if you go to thinkware.com to buy, use code SMOKE20, that's SMOKE20, and get 20% off any regular price Thinkware dash cam. That's code SMOKE20, SMOKE20 at thinkware.com to redeem that coupon at checkout. Available in the U.S. and Canada on their website. And of course, we are also brought to you by Crown and Caliber. Guys, if you're looking to buy a luxury watch from Switzerland, chances are you can save a lot of money for the exact same product if you buy it used. And if you're going to buy it used, the problems come up about buying stuff on the internet that is frequently faked, like watches. So you want to buy used, you probably want to buy on the internet, but you want a trusted source. My sponsor, Crown and Caliber, has been there for me for years now, and they inventory 2,000 to 3,000 watches at any given time. They have a team of watchmakers and technicians. Every watch you see on their website, the photographs are of that actual watch. They have a mechanical guarantee so that if you get a watch, and even a vintage watch, and it doesn't work properly, they will make that right and make that watch work right for you. And they take in trades, especially they have a new deal. If you want to buy a brand new Breitling watch, I mean off of Breitling's website, Crown and Caliber is their trade-in partner, so you can trade your old Swiss watch to Crown and Caliber for a credit at the Breitling store for a brand new Breitling. That's pretty cool. You could also get plenty of used Breitlings, Rolexes, Omega, AP, you name it, Cartier, on Crown and Caliber's website. Use code TST175 if you buy a watch, any watch. That's $175 off for you for liking the Smoking Tire. TST175 at crownandcaliber.com. $175 off any watch in their store, but only one per customer. Please buy more than one, but you can only use a discount once. I'm sorry about that, but it's the way it goes. All right, on this episode of the podcast, I have got the editorial staff of Road and Track, or at least a substantial portion of it. Travis Okulski is here, Kyle Kennard is here, and Mac Hogan is here. They're in town for the LA Auto Show, and we did this one pre-Tesla Cybertruck, so there's not any Auto Show Cybertruck talk. That happened the following day. This happens when you trickle out episodes later. So it's Travis Okulski, Kyle Kennard, and Mac Hogan from Road and Track Magazine. We talk about P. Cody a lot and, you know, what it's like to run a magazine on the Smoking Tire podcast.
Hello.
What up, fools? It is the Smoking Tire podcast on a Tuesday. What's happening, guys? Lots to go over today because we have a lot of guests and because Ford has dropped the Mackie. Oh God, it's gone good, but also so wrong. So hello and welcome to the Smoking Tire podcast with some Road and Track fuckers. Travis Okulski in studio.
Hey,
Kyle Kennard in studio. Mac Hogan in studio. Welcome. Hello.
Thank you.
Nice to see you all again. And you delivered the mail.
You know,
P. Cody issue.
If you're a premium subscriber, I hand deliver the issues to you now. So, yeah, I travel around backpack full of magazines, apparently.
I really like your choice of cover photo.
I mean,
it's pretty good.
Look, it's kind of a fuck you to a lot of people.
a lot of people have reciprocated that notion to us for putting that on the cover.
Look, you can put every magazine puts a group shot on the cover. So we didn't put a group shot on the cover. And you know what? Maybe it'll bite me in the ass. Maybe it won't. But I think it's pretty cool.
No, I think it's awesome. Front wheel drive burnout from the Veloster N. I got a lot of angry letters and Instagram comments about it. So many.
Got both.
People are so angry.
I've gotten a lot of people who are happy and a lot of people who aren't happy. But you get that anyway. I mean, no matter what you pick, people are just going to be pissed or they're going to be thrilled. So, you know what? I love making people happy or mad.
Yeah.
whichever one, it doesn't matter.
Not neutral, though.
Yeah, no, I don't like them to not have an opinion.
So. I also got a lot of people who, because this is my first time participating in such things.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of emails from or messages from people who really were like, why didn't you do this? And I'm like, I was just asked to be there and drive some things this time. Like, I don't know. Like, the rules are printed in the thing, actually.
Yes.
I was handed
that. Please forward all your complaints to Matt Farah. He was responsible for everything that went wrong.
Responsible for not even things that went wrong, just like editorial decisions.
Right,
like,
or anything.
That's
like
the editor.
Yeah, I am the editor. If you want to complain, email me. My email is kyle.kennard. But like looking at like Reddit and any of the forums, especially the Corvette forum, after this, we announced this, you know, this is one time I can say that literally nobody commenting has driven the car that we did not give the award to.
Yeah.
So like, you know, there's times where people own the car, they spent time with the car, they've driven a bunch of them. No one drove the C8, yet they've decided the C8 is going to be the car, the performance car of the year. And it did not win the test.
So, a lot of paper math out there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. It's a lot of people like on calculators like thinking that the numbers matter when we say in here literally the numbers don't matter.
Yeah,
there's actually a whole article in the magazine because the magazine's different than what you saw online.
Oh, good.
Slightly. So there's parts of...
Is there a whole article called The Numbers Don't Matter?
Yes.
Is there?
Yeah. There really is.
Fake news and fake numerals.
It's after the track. It's just before that.
Yeah.
I'm going to find it.
Just after all the numbers,
After the track math.
Numbers don't matter.
So what appeared online was a sampling of it, but the whole issue is Performance Car of the Year. That's the one about the numbers not mattering. Figured out. Yeah.
Oh yeah, right here. It's called Figured Out, but the sub headline is it's not a numbers game. Sports cars shouldn't be either. There you go.
Yeah.
By Sam Smith. Is this an article in which he talks to himself? I like those a lot.
That's literally everyone.
There might be some things that don't have a byline on them where there's talking to himself and it is Sam Smith who wrote them. But yeah. So what we did this time is instead of having there's no other the whole issue is about it. So it's a 60-page package of performance car of the year. So
it sounds like justification, Travis.
It is justification because I want to keep doing this test.
So if it's 60 pages, right, because Hyundai paid us, 30 of these should be Hyundai Veloster NAS, yep. Right?
Yeah, I mean, the checks from Hyundai have just been rolling in, man.
No. Actually, I just got my paychecks are actually coming from Hyundai Motor now.
Oh, directly?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we hired Mac through Hyundai.
Yeah. The middleman?
The checks are all in Korean, though, so they're impossible to cash.
My bank thinks they're fraud. I don't know.
Mac changed his name to Mac Hyundai.
Yeah, he did. Of, you know, he did.
It was a branding deal. Extra money on top. Right.
The Mac Hyundai WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
Yeah.
Hogan.
Is my body now.
What's great is that people say Hyundai paid us. Hyundai hasn't had an ad in Road and Track in I don't know how long. And
that's the game, bro. They right. don't put the ads in the magazine. They put the ads in your pocket.
Yeah, but that's they didn't.
If they could see the ads, everyone would know.
Yeah.
Scam would be up.
That's true. I guess those pocket ads
it's
are what makes it happen.
It's real subversive, dude. It's real subversive.
You know what?
They're doing it without doing it, right?
I tell you
what, man. They don't advertise in the magazine, but look at the publicity they're getting.
Yes, they're on the cover of paper that is frequently read by many people in airports, as well as hundreds of thousands of subscribers.
If you cut those pages in half, there's Hyundai ads in between them.
Yeah.
If you read the first letter of every sentence in the article, it says Hyundai is king.
And then this scene didn't kill
us. I mean, the literal test says Hyundai is king. So.
Then again, this issue, we literally did kind of declare Hyundai
is king.
But it's also the subtext.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
But it took a lot of like having, you know, been there for it. If you just stopped at the end of the first track day, the Hyundai wouldn't have been king. That's why it's important to do all the other stuff.
Right. Yeah. That's why it's so great that we have, you know, we had 6 days with these cars this time. That, I think, tells the whole story. Because there was stuff that we went into, like, Kyle and I talked before even going to the test, and we had, like, here's our top six. Here's the cars that are going to be in the top six. We know this without even driving the cars. And it was, like, I think we were half right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that.
So, like, stuff ended up surprising us. Like, the Supra ended up being something that we had both driven before and thought was good. And then we drove it on the test and we're like, what happened, man?
Well, in isolation, it's fine.
Right.
Fine becomes good when you have nothing to compare it against.
Right. And when you have the perfect, the absolute perfect condition.
Ask an Irish sheep herder. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it was
wow,
it was a really
really good. That's really
I'm
good.
I'm out. Yeah, that was good.
You have to pause and take a left to figure that one out.
We could just stop the podcast now if you want to go on that note. Just end.
I'm just going to mute my mic and you guys talk.
That's what's so great about having so much longer with the cars and being able to do like the full, we did, you know, 2 full days on the track. Well,
yeah.
I did 1 day and everyone else did another day. But then we had, you know, the long days on the road, and I think we learned a lot, and it was really eye-opening too to see, you know, the preconceptions we came in with and then what ended up actually.
Yeah, and then like some cars are real like first impression cars, and other cars like C8, like if you look at my little video, which a lot of people have, thank you, appreciate that, but like my reaction and like Kamisa's reaction at like the first time we drove the C8 were the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then he spent like a bunch of words crapping on it, and I had to like film little clarifying bits to be like, yo, that shine wore off kind of quick, so chill. And then people sort of, you know, they're like, but your first reaction was real and then your other reaction was not. And it's like, well, no, it's just more time passed and you did more things.
Well, and we're not immune to the fanfare of the arrival of the mid-engine Corvette. It shows up on that trailer. We've got all the
nice
text around it. It was like a great car to drive at first, and then as the trip progressed, like
it was still a good. It was still good at the end of the trip too. It's not a bad car in any way, but
that
there
particular car we had too was better at full braking, full throttle than it was at half braking, half throttle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's just, you know, impressions change over time, and I think once you spend more time with it, it's a great car, but it doesn't take advantage of the architecture in the way that it can, and once it has more power and once it has the hybridized front axle, I think you'll really see something that's incredible. But for now, it doesn't seem like the advantage isn't there over the Stingray, over the C7 to me.
Yeah.
But as a jumping off point, it will probably get
Yeah.
Somewhere that's above the other one.
So where so the 800 like the horsepower one's going to fucking rule.
Right, like the
that one's going to be awesome.
Like the C7 Z51 is an amazing car and the C8 Z51 feels like it will be an amazing car once it has more to it because the C7 feels like it got worse, I think, as it got more power. Hmm. And the C8 I feel like will get better.
Yeah, yeah, to a point.
Yeah.
Like the that front rear, it's like 500 wheel. After that, it's like, all right, let's chill out.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah,
there, it needs more revs too.
P Cody 2022 or whatever it is when we have the Grand Sport C8, it's just going to wipe the floor with everything. It's
probably the ZR1 C8, right? Because
The Zora. Because
it's usually like not big, not a huge power upgrade, but grip is crazy. And then
I just,
the ZR1
will
be the 720.
I'm a Grand Sport whore. I want one real bad now that production's ended and
they must
dirt
be
cheap.
Laying
they're like
around.
They're like $4,000. Go
I just read a story that there's like thousands of Corvettes on the lot right
That's
now.
That's 5,000 Corvettes. Yeah. 5,000 C7s.
That seems like a good time.
Yeah.
Seems like a good time to get out on one, actually.
Yeah. Can I raise?
On company air? Car?
Not on the air.
No. Just say yes.
Let's talk money.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about
Hyundai, or
should we talk about personal finances right now?
Hyundai, can I have a Corvette?
That's funny. He learned to speak Korean. Can we get a Rosetta Stone? We can all negotiate together.
Man,
but you know, I personally, in my voting, I had the 911 as number one.
Yep,
because I think it's amazing at pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of you guys get to drive Taycan yet? Is it just me
doing it on Thursday?
Yo,
yes,
It's bananas.
Yeah, the toucan's good.
It's fucking real crazy.
The Taycan.
It's like it's pretty nuts. Like the launch is uncomfortably fast.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
What's that turbo hitting?
It's when the turbo spools. It's really. It has some fun Starship Enterprise noises it makes.
Yeah,
which I like.
I'm under obligation by our fearless leader to ask everybody at the Porsche booth where the turbocharger is the Taycan Turbo.
Well, no, it's about You have to ask about the development. You're supposed to talk about the development of the turbocharger.
You're supposed to say who's the guy who designed the turbo. I want to interview him and just keep walking around.
Yeah. Well, there's many ways to approach this.
You're Jalopnik now? Is that what's happened?
You
hire him and you become Jalopnik?
Yes.
We're all poached for Jalopnik. Thank you very much.
I wasn't the editor-in-chief of Jalopnik for like a day and a half.
Nothing drew attention, though, from the turbo naming. Like when the Mustang came out, Porsche was like, yeah, everybody should, wow, why Mustang, right?
I would never.
It's super crazy. Anyways, the Taycan 2.7 RS is on its way.
All of Porsche standing behind the crowd of the Mustang going, yeah, I don't know why they did this. I'm like, yeah, totally.
What's up with these guys?
Yeah. When is the EcoBoost Mach E coming out? No.
The Mach name.
I'm glad I shut that down because that was a fun discussion.
They had Galaxy. They had Fusion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Why Mustang?
I talked to the guy behind it for a long time trying to get that answer.
Can you translate?
Yeah, I mean, for a question that they definitely should have seen coming, the answer was not that clear. So what I asked him is like, you know, they talked about, it's about affordable performance, but Ford makes a lot of affordable performance cars.
The Fiesta is also about affordable performance.
And it's not a Mustang. So I was like, the Focus RS has an engine that also goes in a Mustang. It has, you know, the same all-wheel drive type setup as a Mach-E. Why is that not a Mustang? And this is. And he said that there's a soul and there is an undescribable...
Oh, no. The Focus RS has no soul and this electric crossover
does? It doesn't have the Mustang soul, apparently.
Oh, listen, that's a terrible excuse.
It wasn't great.
Well, we did... So you got a thing that said it's not good for sustained track use.
Yes.
And the Performance Pack 2 overheats its diff after, like, 5 laps on a track.
Well, that's family. It also...
In
its current state, it can't do burnouts. It can't fully defeat traction control. So we asked about that. And he didn't know. The chief engineer said it couldn't. And then the guy in charge of the development project said it could. And they hadn't talked somehow.
What part specifically is Mustang on this?
The badge? Yeah. No, that's not true. The badge isn't even the same. It's slightly different.
Yeah.
So,
is there seats?
Interior's vegan, so I'm doubting the regular Mustang is vegan.
Where is Bosey when you need him?
What parts are shared with any other Mustang?
Bosey, like if you're listening to this right now, please send me a text with what parts of the Mach-E and the Mustang are shared.
Yeah, the only part he said that kind of
a solid axle. In order to celebrate the heritage. Yeah.
It's got a solid
chain drive or something like that.
Yeah. Like, he said the thing about it that made it more Mustang than like a Focus RS is that it is
the grill.
Its own thing, not a performance version of another car. But he also said Mustangs are about being authentic and that they wouldn't have fake vents, which Mustangs have definitely had fake vents. But I was what about that grill?
He didn't actually say that. That's horseshit.
He said it's authentic and like you wouldn't see a fake vent on a new Mustang.
A Ford person said to you that you wouldn't see a fake vent on a Mustang?
Yes.
These people need to talk to each other.
They have to rationalize it to themselves because it was somebody in sales who was like, if we throw a Mustang badge on this thing, we'll actually make some money. And then that dictated everything.
It's just, I don't know, man.
They also didn't know the Mustang's crashing at Cars and Coffee meme. They'd never heard of it.
Oh, guys.
I feel like that one's a lie. I feel like they knew that.
Okay. There was one guy that laughed at it, but there was three guys who were just like, what are you talking about? And we showed them videos like, people think Mustangs do that specifically? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, all right.
There's no way they just heard about that.
Yeah. They didn't just hear about that from you 2 days ago or yesterday. Or how long is this trip? Oh, but you might not have a hotel.
I've been here since I was born, basically, at this point.
Yeah.
I really feel like that the name undermines how cool it is.
It's a good-looking car.
Right? It's cool, yeah. It's cool really on its own. Yeah.
Well, because the conversation is about the bastardization of the nameplate, right? It's nothing about the content of the vehicle.
I don't even know anything about it.
How big is the battery? It's only bitching about the name at this point.
99.7.
I couldn't give you a spec.
Okay.
No. Just that it's named wrong. That's all I can tell you about it.
Because I live with Ford now, I can give you the specs if you need
them. Yes.
So it's 300 miles of range and like a 99-point-something kilowatt battery. Like, it's lots of good things. It can fast charge at like 12,000 stations.
Okay, so already it's not Mustang, right? Yeah. Because nobody leads into their Mustang conversation with like, well, with a full tank of gas, the range is 402 miles, yeah. Buddy. Oh, get a load of that.
Zero to 60 is
vegan interior, though. Yeah.
0 to 60 is mid 3 seconds, they said, but it still can't do burnouts. So, what are we doing if they just
on the keyboard?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They don't want to because
he said it probably will be able to by the time it comes out. Why is it unveiled a year early?
When does it come out? Everything except the horses and the name. Everything else could stay.
They should have called it the Edgelord.
Yeah.
God. Well, they still have time.
They have like futuristic
to regain. The GT doesn't come out till spring.
In there.
Oh, 2021.
They have a GT?
Yeah, the GT doesn't come out till spring of 2021.
There's Pacific Coast Highway Edition or something.
California Route 1.
Man, imagine going to SFO, go on vacation, pick up your Mach-E with a panoramic roof, cruise on down Highway 1 to Silicon.
Vegan interior.
Just cruise on down there to LA, stopping for a charge three, four times.
Oh, my God. The Mustang Mach-E 405 edition with a top speed of 3 miles an hour.
They put a charger in San Simeon and it costs like $80,000 to charge your car. There's no possible way to get around it.
I can't wait for the Mustang 2 Mach-E.
They know it reads Mache, right?
Why does it have a hyphen? Why? It doesn't need a hyphen.
Wanted to keep its maiden name.
It's cheaper than a badge when there's only.
Yes. It was the Mach. Did they just call it Mach? Like, remember back at years, 6 years ago when they said at the auto show they were going to build a electric crossover and call it the Mach 1?
Yeah.
Right? And everyone was all mad that they called it Mach 1, so instead of calling it the Mach 1, they just called it a Mustang instead?
Yeah.
It seems wrong.
So for companies that have spun off an individual model into a brand.
Yeah. Edsel.
Like, yeah, or Ram, or Viper.
Genesis.
How has that gone for really any of them?
Genesis won Motor Trends Genesis car of the year.
Ram's doing
it? Oh, did it?
Ram's doing well.
At some, they, 1 year, I don't know.
Like, this last year was the Corvette.
Last year was
G70,
what were the other two
this year? This year was Corvette.
Kia.
Yeah, I was just curious about the SUV.
Matt, are you asking to measure in terms of sales or how it's been received?
How it's been received, really. Okay.
I still think of a Ram as a Dodge Ram.
I do, too.
And no one can tell me that it's not.
Yeah.
No.
So, yeah.
But I've never had an ill will towards that brand when the truck showed up. I'm like, I like the truck. It's nice.
Yeah.
I don't go, why do they have to change the name? But this is very different.
I thought it was kind of a weird decision. I didn't really get it.
Well, it's like
okay.
if
it's like the kids moving out because their parents got weird. Like, Jeep's like, we're the most successful Fiat Chrysler company, so we're just going to be Jeep now. And then Ram's like, we don't want to be associated with the Dart.
Yeah.
And then I never understood the Viper one either.
Well, that was when they made SRT its own brand, right?
Yeah,
because they were just putting the. It didn't make any sense because it was like the 300 SRT and then the Charger SRT and then the Viper was the SRT Viper.
Yeah, has it stayed? It has stayed because it's SRT Hellcat.
I think it's not its own brand. But it's the Viper folded under Dodge.
It's Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye.
But this is more of a form factor thing, right? Like the problem, like if they had taken a Mustang body and made it electric and badass. I don't think anybody would be complaining, right?
A Mustang Mach-E that was an electric Mustang, I think would make more sense.
Called Mach-E.
You like that I would really complain that was like 1,000 horsepower.
People
will
complain about anything.
Well, correct. Okay, sure. Yes. But the conversation being dominated by like what the fuckism is mostly because it's a you know, crossover shaped thing called Mustang, right?
Right. Yes.
So it's like that's the failure.
The word Ford appears zero times on it? Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're going with that?
Yeah.
That's called pulling an Oldsmobile.
Yes.
Remember when they went Aurora and they dropped the Oldsmobile from everything?
Yeah. Well, I think they think that Mustang has a lot of cachet and could be its own brand.
Remember they were probably right. And I read some quote somewhere that said that a lot of people didn't identify Mustangs as Fords, which makes people fucking stupid.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't understand that at all.
The Mustang. Brought
like
to
Madonna.
You by Mustang.
Just pure Mustang.
God.
But I like what they've done with the interior, though. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clearly Tesla-inspired.
Like, so the car's probably going to be good. It's probably going to go...
It probably will be good.
Probably will.
What's weird about the interior, though, is if you see the knob that's in the center, you know, right now it's showing like a volume knob, and so they have a physical knob built into the touchscreen, which is really cool. Except right now, it's just a volume knob. Like, it has a screen in the middle, which makes it seem like it could do a bunch of other things or like be the fan controller.
Like,
no, it's a volume knob. That's dumb. But it's just built into the screen.
If it was like selectable, just scrolly radio stations and volume, that
like
would be
JLR
awesome.
Like JLR does it with like the weird heated seats things or something. No, it's a volume knob and that's what it does.
I always think that was clever for the heated seats.
Yeah, no, I think it is. I'm saying if you're going to put a screen in it, it should probably do more than one thing. Otherwise, you can just write volume.
Are you certain it can only do one thing?
Well, it can only do one thing right now. This system supports over-the-air updates, which is, you know, their way of saying, well, if things are bad, we'll just change them after you get it.
That's nice.
That's good.
It's not like Honda where they like ditched the volume knob, you know,
you
and then
don't
had to
need
do like
a knob.
1 year later they had to throw the knob back in the Accord and
the 2015 Accord is like the
Civic didn't have the knob and then
that's
they
right.
yeah.
yeah.
The Civic I have right now has a knob. It's nice.
Wow. Yeah.
And you can turn the volume up and down.
Because the clicking buttons on the Civic Si wheel were not good. They didn't feel good. They weren't fast enough.
Nope.
And you just
And they had that like slidey finger thing.
Slidey
things
are
no good. Nobody was in for that.
Why? There's some things that are just fine the way they are, right? That just have worked forever, and there's no reason to change them.
Yeah, switches,
door handles,
knobs, door handles.
Another Mach-E problem.
Yeah. You know, like,
well, what's the Mach-E problem with the door handles?
Okay, so as per usual,
they make a sound of a V8 starting up when you push them.
Too long. I think people have written articles about the door handle, so if you Google it, it'll come up because it's not in the press photos. But although you can kind of see there's not a normal door handle. There's a little like metal, not like a little handle that pops out. That's not the door handle. That's a door pull. So what there actually is there's a little circle above that. You press that, it pops the door, then you do that. However, so it has phone as a key, which is the other thing. So the idea is
I shit on that until I used it in a Model 3 for a week, and then I felt a little primitive going back. It's pretty sweet.
Really?
Right. And they have a good
carry
backup.
If you're not going to have to put the key in and turn it, you might as well just jump straight to phone.
Rather than a fob.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Makes sense.
Because it's a
point,
Ford.
It's a reliable enough connection.
Why don't we have the...
you can jump straight.
Why don't we have like iPhone like finger thing?
Isn't there someone who did have their Tesla key implanted in their arm?
Yeah.
Oh,
that person is an idiot.
And probably dead.
They're probably dead.
Well,
oh, wait.
So is this
okay, there it is. Okay. So The idea is you really shouldn't have to press the that stuff, because when you walk up with your phone in the pocket, it's supposed to auto pop for you. So it's going to pop out like an inch or so, and then you're going to grab the pull and open it. If that doesn't happen, you can press that little button, and that's also how you do the, you know, it's a Ford, so it's got the keypad.
It has a keypad.
It has the keypad.
No.
That's great.
Yes.
As the keypad. No, as the backup for if your phone's dead.
The keypad is excellent.
So, it's got so many. Wait, does it have its own key too? Is there a key?
They would not confirm whether or not there would be a key.
No, there's always got to be a backup.
There's got to be a key, because there's a lot of people who don't have smartphones.
Here's the backup. The backup is you type the key in for the out.
Oh,
for
the code?
The code, and then inside, you have another code that's a startup code, so if your phone's dead, you can then punch that in and it turns
like
on
that.
The car.
I like that better than a key,
right. Sure.
Actually.
Here's the problem.
What worked in the Tesla was the credit card key backup. That was comforting, and in to think about if your phone died, it was good
to
have that.
Or if it's like icy or something.
Or like I gave it to my wife to take the car to the store. Right, like that actually works pretty good.
So the big problem is that so you have those little metal door pulls on the front. You don't have them on the back. So I swear to God,
how do you open the back door?
So you pop.
Here's why it's a Mustang. Only two doors, really.
So there's a little nub,
yeah,
above the rear door that you pressed, and it pops the door a little bit. And I swear to God, the Ford-approved way to open it is you stick your hand in the jam and pull it open. Now, they say that it has some safety mechanism so you can't then slam the door on your fingers, because you're putting your fingers...
Wait. You press the button, but then there's no handle
that? So it pops it open, and then you stick it in the door jam, in between the bodywork.
This is real. Come on.
God.
You're
kidding
me. That's so silly, because the front door, like the handle
that's
makes
it.
Sense. It blends in. You don't see it, which is kind of silly, because you still
have
a handle, so why
couldn't
you pull it?
Is that looking at there, is that popped?
That the handle
it always
doesn't
stays
move.
That way.
Is it,
hand,
is that permanently
it's
popped?
It's a pull. It is not a handle, so it doesn't
it's just
flex
a
at
fixed
all.
Pull.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you press that little button,
which
you
right.
pop it, and then you open it like that.
Well, that's more annoying than it needs to be, but okay.
Well, it should be pre-popped if you pre-popped.
So basically, so they did the fixed handle to get rid of the mechanical release of pulling a handle.
Is
right.
This the longest doorknob conversation
I've
ever
I'm
had.
Really
no, I'm flabbergasted. This is the stupidest solution.
No, okay.
This didn't
really
ready to move on from this conversation about Maki.
Super annoyed about this.
Why
no,
couldn't
that's
it just
not that
have,
dumb, I don't think.
You don't think that's dumb?
Well, it's
no,
dumb.
That's fine.
It's
the
dumb.
Back door with nothing is
why, that's dumb.
Dumb.
Yes.
That's very
dumb.
Because that one's supposed to be automatically pop for you. See, nothing on the back at all. So
and the back doesn't automatically pop.
So you press that button in, because it won't auto pop. Right. And then you jam your hand in between the door and where the door closes. You can see why this might be a bad idea.
That's a bad idea.
And then apparently there's some safety system to prevent you from smacking your hand on the door. I don't really know how that works. But yeah, so you just kind of stick your hand directly in the door jam.
That's
and
so
then if
stupid.
You ever try and get another
why would
car
they just
again,
hide another handle like right in this trim piece? I mean, maybe it's a structural problem, but
I don't get
here.
The impression that why was asked a lot in the development.
Because you get a half a mile of range for not having a door handle.
Come on, Zach.
It kind of reeks of that gullwing door on the Model X, you know, where it was just like everyone was like, yes, we can do it.
Has
and
anyone ever
no,
made
no,
a better door handle than just a normal one that you just pull and then the door
the
opens?
The NA Miata has a pretty good door handle.
I mean, I understand flush, but even I'll give Tesla credit where they're due. The Model 3 door handle, where it's pretty flush except for one little nub, and you push the thumb, and there's the handle, and then
Or the new 911 has a good door handle.
The 911 has a good door handle, too.
No, it just pops out.
I felt like that was kind of annoying.
Okay.
It wasn't working for me a lot. Well, and then you had to like really dig under there and pull the handle out. Those door handles were kind of shit.
Okay.
Wait, are they
went from good to kind of shit in a matter of 8 seconds.
You know what? It seems better than this solution.
Your
it's definitely
staff.
Better than this, God.
No,
it's like they couldn't afford the Falcon Wing doors and just did something.
You're going to get one of these as an Uber someday, and then the Uber driver, 90% of his job is just going to be explaining, okay, here's how you get in the back, because it's not going
to be. No, he's going to have to get out and open the car for you because the back doors will be broken from the outside.
And if it snows, you're just not allowed in the car.
Vinny got an Uber yesterday that was a red XC90R design.
Ooh.
I was like, wow, someone can't make the payments on this.
Jeez.
That's an expensive vehicle.
A very expensive car.
Yeah.
And
great
that's
taste.
Like a rare color for Volvo, because they did not have that color at the press launch.
No.
They're more of a subdued kind of blue-gray kind of people.
They're a gentle Swedish people.
Yeah.
I met some Volvo engineers at the Apex premiere last night.
Oh, yeah?
They were very cool, yeah. It was. It went well.
Yeah?
We had this dude, David Morse, who won the 82 82?
83 or 82?
I think he won the 82 U.S. Express.
Invented Morse code.
And
really quite a resume on this guy.
Oh, Mac, is that my phone vibrating up there? If it is, will you just grab it and throw it to me? I apologize. And he was telling us stories about, you know, driving a Porsche 928 with... You know, which has the passenger compartment is not separate from the trunk.
Yeah.
And the whole trunk had a 40-gallon fuel bladder, like a bag of fuel.
That seems safe.
With clothes thrown on top of it.
Yeah.
And it just really, really seemed very dangerous.
No kidding. Because the weight you add changes the dynamics of the car. Yeah. And then it gets lighter and lighter. And I don't know.
It's early 928, no aero, just narrow body car.
And I'm sure the technology for storing fuel in a bladder back in the 80s was fantastic.
Yeah, really, really good.
There was probably
waterbed salesmen were on point back in that time. My grandfather had one.
Yeah, my God, there was probably a waterbed.
Yeah, it was cool. We recorded the Q&A afterwards with him, so that would be a partial podcast.
Recording failed.
Fuck out of here.
Totally did.
Really?
That's why we're going to have David Morris on the podcast again.
Oh,
really?
So
I was like, hey, Alex, can we get this email? Because that didn't work out.
No.
It was like a 26-minute show. It was a good show, though.
Shit.
Well, the people who were there really enjoyed it. And go see the December 3rd premiere in New York, right?
I saw the movie last year?
Yeah.
6 months ago or something, whenever they showed it in New York. It was really cool.
It's awesome.
I've seen iterations of it, too, through JF and through Alex, and it was cool to finally see, like, the finished product.
The final product, it finally included all the old footage, which some of the earlier cuts had limited amounts of the old footage.
Yeah.
And the 10 minutes they do on George Egloff, I think, is really interesting.
Which guy was he again?
The motorcycle guy.
Oh,
so this guy, George Egloff, is the only person to have competed in both Cannonballs and all three U.S. Expresses.
On a bike?
Solo on a bike.
Yeah, this is some Zach Bowman shit.
And he was like super mellow about it.
Yep.
About the fact that he just rode for 50 hours.
Did he have
solo?
Did he have a fuel tank or something?
No.
Like, how did he? He was
just
filling up
fill.
Every.
Yeah, he would just stop and fill.
Yeah.
But he's just like, oh, you know, sleep for 45 minutes now and then ride for another 10. It would take him like 40 hours.
Yeah. But he did it every time, and he did it on a Honda CBX,
great,
which is an amazing motorcycle, 6-cylinder motorcycle. And he was just very modest about the fact that he was by far the most hardcore person there.
That is super hardcore.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
What's George Egloff, the lone ride? Oh, that's a 32 hours, 7 minutes promo. if you want to see a little promo.
That.
Wow, from 2008 on YouTube, George Egloff, the lone rider.
Wow.
But there's a nice tangent about him in the film, and they go a little more in depth into each of the really interesting characters from the guys. Some of the guys from the 80s were like fucking out of their minds. I mean, there's one guy, and they don't say it, but he looks like he's done an 8-ball.
I was gonna
immediately
say,
before
there was a lot
car.
Of coke going around to keep you awake.
Yeah, which guy? I was sitting next to Sarah Trimble, and there was just someone come on screen, and she go, crazy eyes. And then later on, another guy popped up, and I saw the same eyes with tiny pupils, and I was like, crazy eyes.
Yeah.
And they had to stay up for 33 hours.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have Red Bull back then.
It's like Wehrmacht soldiers, you know. At some point, you know, they were on something.
Did we talk about the book?
Which book?
Was it Blitz?
Which book? Kyle has a lot of books about that time.
I've got
almost a weird amount of them.
Blitz, right? Wasn't that the book, Zach?
Blitz?
Yeah. Blitz, Drugs in the Third Reich is the name of the book.
I think we did talk about this.
It's just basically a book about how the entire Third Reich was on speed. And
fantastic.
A lot of them on morphine as well.
Not surprised.
Like because it was being prescribed. It was being developed and prescribed like in huge, huge quantities.
They would sell it in chocolate to like the citizens and then later just gave it to soldiers without the chocolate.
Well,
part.
I want to say the Third Reich produced methamphetamine for the
first time. Yeah, that's what they were doing. It was meth. So
it's an amazing book.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend that.
How did we end up here from from Mache?
Hey, man, you're the one that said Wehrmacht.
The movie you were talking about.
True.
Fair.
Old story about George Egloff?
Oh, I guess so.
Just found it.
Quick round. Badass.
But some of those other, like, like the guy telling a story about the dude fixing his car at 80 miles an hour.
Mike DeGonis.
Yeah.
Love that dude.
DeGonis is this, like, super Goomba from, like, Queens or something. Real meathead guy. Yep. Drives a Pantera that supposedly was a 200-mile-an-hour car in 1983.
Yeah.
and he said he had, there's the car, second picture in, and he said he had a riding mechanic with him, and he just fucking drove.
I remember
mechanic,
this.
And he said this mechanic climbed out of the car and fixed like an injector.
Well, they had twin ignition systems, and one of the wires had like rattled loose on one of them, you know, like double MSD. So the guy had to climb out on the roof at 85 miles an hour.
It's like sending R2-D2 to go do something.
And then, you know, climb back in. And my favorite part is they were like, has he done that before? And Mike was like, no, I just suggested he do it this time. He goes, like, oh, shit.
He goes, I didn't ask if he'd done it before, yeah, but I suggested he do it this time.
He do it this time.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
So man. Good.
It's like the guys you see driving around Dubai on two wheels changing a tire as you move.
What a wild thing. Could you imagine if something like that
still
existed?
They make it sound so fucking glamorous, but
yeah,
yo, I've done shit kind of like this. It's not that fun.
No.
it's like 3 hours, an hour of fun in the beginning, and then an hour of fun in the end, and then 28 or so hours of utterly
misery.
Dull
28
misery.
Hours of soiled diapers.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, that's the thing. You're going to do it like in diapers and... Because you got to have fuel. You're driving a shit bomb across the country.
And it's funny. We're talking about, I guess we'll have to talk to him again about it because you never hear about this part on the podcast. But we're asking David Morse, who is one of the winners, although not a record holder, about, I just brain farted. Where was I going with that? You nodded because you knew where I was talking about, Zach.
Well, David Morse, he drove the 928.
No, I know, but we're
Bathroom
breaks?
No, before the bathroom breaks.
Diapers.
Shit.
Shits.
Ow.
Wehrmacht?
Oh, no. Okay, sorry.
Wehrmacht brought you
how
back.
How Brock Yates, the Nazis. No. Yeah. How Brock Yates, conceived the Cannonball as sort of this protest against the 55 mile an hour speed limit.
Yeah.
And I asked David Morse, I was like, by the time you got to like 82 and 83, you know, was it still about that, or were you really just fucking racing? And he's like, no. He's like, was it about that? He's like, we were racing, dude. He's like, if someone said it was about that, like, that's great, but like, we were definitely just racing.
Yeah,
like,
he said it was never a protest for me, and we just laughed so hard.
Well, that one of the guys in the movie, you know, who had done it back in the day, was like, he's like a lawyer or something. He's like, I was vehemently against the 55 mile an hour speed limit, and I took great pride in exceeding it by as much as possible every chance.
He had fuck the police coming out of his eyeballs. He really did. But David Morse, he was like the guy that goes to a charity event to pick up chicks. He's like, I mean, if we want to shovel dirt and, you know, help this ecosystem, sure, but look at that ass.
When is the movie getting like released, Zach, on iTunes or whatever? So
it has to go through their like internal QC, which they're working on. So I don't know. I can tweet it out and put it on here, but it's gonna be very soon on iTunes.
And there's a premiere December 3rd in New York at a thing. Is it at a? Is that?
I think it's at the Classic Car Club. Right?
Oh, it's at Classic Car Club.
That's what Alex just said.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Yeah.
If you want to get updates on that, you can go to apex.one and then go to the bottom and click the link of to get on the emailing address or emailing list.
Apex.one?
O-N-E. Yeah. Apex.one.
It's pretty good. I'm also in it. Yay. I mean, I am. I'm in it.
And yet
and there's
still
a funny
good.
Little Easter egg in which there's some old footage from Alex from like 2005 doing his like weather calculations.
Yep.
And he's got a dual monitor set up, which for 2005 was like a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
And on his left monitor is the first original layout of Jalopnik.
Oh, my God.
And it's so shitty looking.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was not a it was not a pretty thing.
It's a good little fun Easter egg. But it's nice to see the polished, you know, finished version of the movie be as good as it is. And he's got Ice-T narrating his fucking life.
So nice.
That's which is hilarious.
Remember when did the first Apex? JF was talking about wanting to get Ice-T to be a narrator and couldn't get Ice-T to be a narrator. So having Ice-T narrate this one, I think, was a pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, Ice-T's into like.
He loves cars.
He loves cars. And, you know.
He did some rally stuff too, right?
Yeah, he did Bull Run twice. JF changed his tire on the side of the road. A Bull Run 2000.
Isn't that how they met? 10.
I thought that was like the genesis of this whole thing. Was
the genesis.
JF stopping to.
Enough Hyundai plugs. No, okay, we get it. They gave you a lot of money.
Ultimately, Ice-T is really close friends with this dude, Seth Rose, who is like a Long Island repo man. And he's
great.
He's hilarious, actually. And he is he puts on these charity like day rallies in Long Island. And so he was able to make the connection. But JF did change Ice-T's tire on the side of the road, like somewhere outside Chicago. And and he remembered, all, you know, obviously. But
great.
But I don't think it was like on Twitter, like, yo, remember me, the guy who did you voice over my movie?
That's amazing. I just got a text from Bozy. He's looking into it for
us. Is he really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He just texted because someone alerted him that I talked about him, which is disappointing that he wasn't listening in the first place. But now I know
that
he's on it.
All that matters is he knows now.
He knows now.
And we're good.
And he can help.
The Bozy signal has gone out.
Yeah. Yo, that's hilarious. We should make a little, like, that should be a shirt, dude.
Bozy
Should
signal?
That be our shirt, like the bat signal, but it's a Bozy signal?
Bozy.
Is that too inside baseball for a shirt?
It might be.
It's a little inside baseball, but I mean, how many sales do we need to be happy?
I don't know. I don't know if I ever said, did I ever say on the podcast announced that we made $12,000 profit from the Carl Ruiz shirts for the charity?
No, that's good.
I went to, you know, we sold that awesome shirt, and I went to this Pig Beach event in Brooklyn. Pig Beach is an outdoor barbecue venue.
Yeah,
and
it's right next to my house.
Is it?
I was there last week.
Oh no, were you there?
That's like 2 blocks from my house.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't like make it more clear that this was going on. It was amazing. 20 of Carl's favorite chefs from all over the country came in and were making food. So, and there was an auction, and there was like free open bar and everything, but like Fox Brothers Barbecue, Chaps Pit Beef, like Gotham Smash Burger. That's the Fox Brothers Barbecue bologna, smoked bologna sandwiches. And it was fucking bomb. There's Fritos. Yes, those are Fritos on that. It's amazing. And there was like Sabret hot dog cart, free fucking hot dogs. Shit. I got in a bidding war with Guy Fieri for his fucking, for Carl Seiko, which Guy won because he's so rich.
Dude, how was that? How was putting together that piece? Because it was great.
Oh, going to
Flavortown.
I don't know if I ever talked about Flavortown on the show.
Yeah.
So my friend Carl, who passed away, was Guy Fieri's chef de cuisine. That watch right there, go back to that real quick. See that Apple Watch? Audi bribed me with that Apple Watch on the R8 launch. I donated it to charity. It got $500 at the silent auction.
They had Apple Watches at
so
the
they did
R8
this,
thing?
Yeah, they did this super corny thing where they're like, put this Apple Watch on, and we're going to track your heart rate in conjunction with your speed and create some sort of waveform with it. And I literally laughed in the dude's face and hucked the watch into the like glove box. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Ask Andrew Collins about this.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, all right. And I forgot about it. I left the watch in the glove box, and I was like, that was dumb, and went home. And then, like, a week later, that Apple Watch showed up in a box. Like, thanks for coming. This is for you. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So we donated it to the auction.
Good.
Good.
But so we went.
What world is that?
You need to bribe me to tell you that a $200,000 Audi is good?
There was an automaker that shall remain unnamed that gave out Visa $50 Visa gift cards, four of them at a car launch.
The most flagrant one I've ever heard of was the new NSX at Sonoma.
Yeah.
That Chris Harris said every journalist got an Arai helmet.
It's a Stilo. It was a carbon fiber Stilo. I don't have one, but I know somebody who does.
I know somebody
that's
got one.
With their names painted on them, right?
Well, no, it was in stickers.
It was stickers?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Right.
There was an automaker
Harris
who gave
donated
out
his to charity.
Yeah.
There was an automaker that gave out MacBook Pros.
Oh, my God. Really?
And here's the thing. They didn't give out the press kit to anyone except for they were like, it's on the computer.
Well, Audi gave me an iPad once. Like, when the iPad was a new thing, they sent me an iPad that had the press, and there was a thing that was like, the press kit's on it. And I was like, cool, this is neat. And when I went to the launch, I was like, here's your iPad back. Like, that was cool. Do that again. Yeah. They're like, no, you keep that. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And they're like, no, you keep that. I was like, no, I couldn't do it. I'm like, I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody, but like, it was absurd.
Yeah.
So, you know, Boxer Spider.
The specs are written on these $100
Boxer
bills.
Boxer Spider's great. The most interesting things about Flavortown.
Cheaper.
Did the you fake for, grocery store that is also a real grocery store.
Oh, for the show.
It's actually a real grocery store?
It's inside of a studio.
Yeah.
It's not open to the public. 100% of the food is real.
No okay. shit.
And it's all stocked deep. Like, it's not like it's one layer of food and then cardboard. It's
all real. It looks
like
a real store.
It is. It's not, but it is.
Wait,
like,
does he go shopping on
TV?
They
donate all of it to the homeless.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, every bit of it. He gives away hundreds of pounds of food every single day.
That's really nice.
And we wanted, like, a snack, and he was like, like,
go to the grocery
store. Have at it.
Really?
Like, yes. Open snacks. That's awesome. Although they were, like, fair warning, like, some of the dry goods and shit have been here for like a minute. Like, not a lot of people like use chips in their recipe, but we have to have them in the store. So like, check your dates on some of the stuff. But like, guy is the nicest person ever. He's the showrunner on the show and the host and the EP. So, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And his house is amazing. It's also in Santa Rosa. He doesn't have all yellow cars anymore. Thank God.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh,
that yellow
that
cars picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a picture of...
It was like a Camaro,
Google,
a Corvette.
Google Guy Fieri yellow car.
I remember.
And he had a thing for yellow cars for a while. And he was like, yeah, yellow cars were great when you're famous for a chef. But when you're famous for a TV star, that is not a good plan. And the only yellow cars he still has are the Chevelle that's up front in that photo. Because it was apparently
that photo's tiny.
Yeah,
no, 3,000. It just didn't fully load yet. Oh, but do it again. If it doesn't fully load, you can do it. That the Chevelle was like his first car, and his first nice car, and so he's still got that. He's got a yellow Ferrari 430 Spider that he said was a gift from like somebody, and he's got those. All that other stuff is gone.
It was a gift from an Audi press launch.
That's what happens if you don't keep the computer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's an old picture, I guess, because that Chevelle is the only yellow car that's left.
My favorite website, HistoryGarage.com.
Yeah, he's got...
look at that.
There's a black one.
Yeah.
The Cobra was not there. He's got let's see, what was there? There was a Rolls Wraith. Not a Wraith, a Ghost. A Rolls Ghost. There's another... No, black.
Oh, okay.
There's a black Chevelle, the yellow Chevelle, the yellow Ferrari, a black Corvette, one of those like... it was a C6, but like the 420s, the Z06 convertible.
The 427.
427, yeah. Z06 black. It was like some special Guy Fieri edition he did with Barrett Jackson for charity. And they made two, and he got one, and someone else
there
got one.
There will be a C8 version. Stay tuned.
Right. And then he had a bunch of trucks and side-by-sides and stuff.
Were they all black and or yellow?
No. There was a white, and they were different.
So there was at least, because it sounds like he branched out from yellow to also include black. But did it include blue at any point?
I didn't
see
a lot of blue, but there was a white truck and a silver truck and a bunch of side-by-sides and quads and dirt bikes and stuff.
Yeah.
More importantly, the man's kitchen was the best home kitchen I've ever seen. And he had the best answer to one of my questions was, like, what do I do in my kitchen to take my kitchen to the next level? And he's like, it's all about those BTUs, brother. And he turns on the stove and like the biggest stove flame I've seen. And he has a 1-inch propane line going into his house. I have a 1/2-inch natural gas line in my house. And so the horsepower, he's got a 16 burner stove. And the size of the flame is so intense. It was crazy. And then he's like, pizza oven outside, double Santa Maria grills, gyro spit, plancha.
Is he cooking for some sort of methed up German army or something?
He's got a lot of parties at his house. And he doesn't have like a staff, but he's got like restaurant staff that comes over and cooks.
Wow.
Wait from Kyle. Where'd you go?
No, we're in America.
So, what's the deal with the Mach-E?
No, he couldn't have been any nicer, actually. The most hospitable, nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what did you think of the Spider?
Oh, it's pretty nice. Did you drive it yet?
I did, yeah. I drove it at the launch, and I was kind of thinking most of the time, like, I would almost rather have just a GTS than pay the extra for the Spider.
The GTS I drove was...
Yeah.
I don't know how much the Spider costs, so they wouldn't tell
me. It's
about
100 and...
It's like 100. It's like it's 100 base, right? Yeah.
99? The GTS I drove was the yellow one that was floating around LA, and it had... I think it had quite a few options on it, but it was like in the middle 90s.
Oh, really?
So if that's the Delta, give me the 6-cylinder, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think you get more.
At the launch, they had, you were basically following like GT3 RSs. So like you get into this thing and you're like, finally the six cylinder's back. And then, you know, you're following the pinnacle of flat six.
No, that's
and you're
kind of
like, ah, just, it dulled it a little bit. And it had that weird particle filter on it that they have in all the shit in
Well, that's why I'm reserving judgment on the sound.
It kind of needs an exhaust.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm reserving judgment on the sound, but like it was the best of those that I've really ever driven.
Yeah.
If I was following a GT3 RS and I had to listen to that guy's exhaust for an hour and a half, I'd be fucking annoyed. Yeah, yeah. But that's like, you're talking about the only better engine than this. Like, this engine is amazing, except compared to that
the better
one.
Yeah.
You know? But that better one costs kind of a lot more to get.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the top was a little, like, kind of finicky, too, and just like, what?
Finicky? I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was that bad. I put it up and down pretty fast.
I don't know. It was raining on and off when we were like
I think you're a bitch.
Man.
I think you're a bitch.
Sounds
I thought this car was fucking awesome. I drove 1,200 miles in 36 hours this car. It was great.
Yeah.
Had front and back
and the
trunks.
Press kit they sent him was on an iPad Pro, so I mean,
they flew me to Tenerife.
They did.
No. Is that where the launch was? Oh, Scotland.
Scotland,
That sounds kind of awesome.
Knock Hill.
I liked the car a lot. I didn't
dislike it. We had the GTS at Lime Rock like in the days before I left on that trip, and that was a good car.
Was that a GTS?
It was.
It was a really good car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, so then we got into
GTS
that thing.
My friend had a Cayman GT4, and I thought the GTS was kind of awesome, too. So you got a point.
Yeah. The GT4 was really good, too. I thought there was more of a case for that because you've got the roof overhead.
Yeah.
They're both good. This thing, I just think, is stunning.
They're all great, right? They're all like...
They're all very good.
One is so good.
Did that picture make it to the other screen, or is that lingering?
No, I've gone back and forth.
All right. That's so. And that building behind that picture on the right is a massive octagonal barn, which they used to use to auction horses back in like the 1890s.
Wait, really?
In 1900s. Wow. I didn't want to post a picture of the inside of it because it was in, you know, it's guys' property, but I'll show you guys a picture.
We'll post it for a price.
Yeah. We'll post the photo.
He's decorating it in a very cool and interesting way, but it was enormous. But
rad.
Yeah, no, that was a fun story to write. It was exhausting. I was dead by the end of it.
Wait, where does he live?
Santa Rosa. So it's like it's an hour California. And 10 minutes north of San Francisco.
Wow.
So I left Venice at 4 a.m. and I got there at 10:06 a.m.
Oof. That's real good.
Which is moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to Central California, like south of San Francisco, like at a pace that I have never seen before. In a sustained
legal pace,
way.
Though, of course.
Totally legally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's the first light. That's me like peeing somewhere in the middle of California. What time was that taken? Does it say? No.
No, it just has the date.
Well, I can endorse Boxer Spider.
Okay.
Yeah. Why are you guys here for auto show or is there other stuff? I thought press days were kind of done by now.
Press day is tomorrow.
Yeah, it hasn't started yet.
Started. Yeah.
I thought. What has everyone been doing over there yesterday and today?
I don't know. Is it slowly setting up or?
Yeah. I mean,
are in town for drives or something.
The Ford trip started on.
I came
Thursday
night.
Started on Thursday.
That's right.
And it goes until Thursday.
It's I live super here now.
Are you serious?
Yep, yeah. I'm a Californian. I pay income tax here.
I didn't understand.
Wait, you're
Hyundai guy.
You went last
joke
week?
Before about being with
week long. I've been here since Thursday.
What?
It only has events every other day.
How delightful.
So, right, you don't have anything, you don't have anything today.
It was, like Saturday we did nothing. So Friday we saw the car. Saturday we did nothing. Sunday we drove Mustangs in the canyon and then saw the car again and it looked like the last time and then I love
that they had you driving Mustangs in the canyon. They really primed they really tried to show you that connection.
I said since it all leaked on Friday anyways, they should have just had us drive the Mach-E and cut the first drive program.
Oh wait, didn't I see in some disclaimer did you get kicked out of something?
No, because Jalopnik did.
Oh, Jalopnik did.
Yeah,
you don't work there anymore. Sorry. Yeah. What did they get kicked? They got kicked out for publishing leaked documents?
Yeah. Yes, they were not welcome at the embargoed briefing because they had already published something on it. And Autoblog and I think Aaron Cole with the Car Connection also got the boot. But a couple outlets that also covered it were there, which was the weird part.
That's
like,
weird.
It was not equitable. And like,
it should be one size fits all. If you're not going to include somebody for doing something, don't include the
other people. Well, and we didn't have anyone on shift when it broke, and then by the time we were talking about, oh, are we writing this? I was like, well, I'm in the briefing, so yeah, at this point it would be a little underhanded to publish something in the briefing, because now that I can confirm what's true and not, right?
Yeah, so wait, do you drive the thing?
No, we got to ride in it.
So you're here for a week, and that ride in the tunnel, is it?
Yeah. I mean, we got a slightly bigger ride around... past the SpaceX hangar, coincidentally, around the Jet Center, and then back into the Jet Center, did a 0 to 55 sprint, and that was it.
Picks up your iPads at Apple HQ. Got our iPad.
And that was what we did. I mean, the reason it's still a week after, like, we would be gone on Sunday night, but, you know, the LA Auto Show. So I could have flown back, you know, Monday morning. It's just that, you know, we're LA also here for the Auto Show. But...
That's a serious press job.
Oh, and then yesterday we got scheduled to go to the briefing for the Corsair Grand Touring, but I'm not allowed to talk about that till Wednesday.
Oh, really?
So don't tempt me.
Oh, it's embargoed.
I don't know what that is. It's a Corsair plug-in hybrid. Oh, which is
I thought you couldn't talk about that till Wednesday.
No, I mean, their naming scheme is, if it says Grand Touring, it's a plug-in hybrid. So.
Oh.
But I'm not going to tell you what it looks like.
But not GT for Mach-E. That doesn't mean Grand Touring. That's only for Lincoln.
No, that means that means sporty.
Right, got it.
Yeah, that means Mustang GT.
When are these Mach-E's supposed to be like coming out?
So fall of 2020 for the first edition, and then the GT and the base model won't come out till spring of 2021.
So the middle one is the first one to come out?
The middle one, So the extended battery
one. What are you shaking your
head at? It's a year away.
It's a year and a half away for the GT.
Just show it to us, then put it on sale.
Well, I'll actually still be at the Intercontinental when it comes out.
Yeah,
so.
That's great. It's
someone and you're writing 50 words on it?
Somebody reminded me that it was in 64 when they came out.
At every dealership.
They unveiled the Mustang and then had one at the dealership ready to go.
Yes.
That's fucking genius. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make moves.
You could do that thing because there was no internet or photography that would be spread around for, you know,
but they
got to
match Tesla on everything.
You actually
gotta
had
match
to leak
lead
documents
times.
Via carrier pigeon in 64. It was really...
Well, back then, life expectancy was shorter. So you couldn't be like, you can buy it in a year. Be like, I'll be dead by then. What about the draft?
But sir, I have polio.
Speaking of 64, who saw Ford versus Ferrari? Anybody yet?
Haven't seen it. Skipping. That was another Ford event. We were supposed to go to the studio, but that starts at 5 and it's 4:11. So I think I'm missing that.
Where are you going to see it?
Fox Studios.
Oh, that'd probably be cool, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to see it. We're going to see it right after this.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wait, where are you going?
To Arclight in Santa Monica.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
The movie's already out, so I don't even know what we're doing.
Yeah, there's no sneak previews anymore. Okay.
So nobody at this table has seen the movie.
No.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I don't think it's any good.
I've heard reading.
I think it was the best movie I will ever see.
They had all these advanced previews in the city for like journalists, and everybody, of course, as they do, left the theater like, "Well, the tire tread pattern on the GD40 Mark II was incorrect, and that ruined the movie for me."
The Mustang's not even electric.
But then you read like the reviews in the Atlantic and the Times, and they were like pretty charitable.
I think Brad Brownell said he liked it. My friend Patrick said he liked it. It's kind of like if you turn off your hyper analytical car brain.
Yeah.
And, just watch it.
Zach,
like
I don't think you understand. We have to
Did
hate
you like
things?
Rush?
Oh, yeah. I hate plenty of things,
no.
man.
You didn't like Rush?
I hate Rush.
I liked Rush.
No.
I liked Rush a lot. I thought Rush was great.
I thought it was medium. I think it was
really?
B.
Yeah. You're an all right band. I didn't see the movie.
I hate the band, and I didn't like the movie.
Like, some of the shots were cool. Some of them were creative. Some of the racing footage was meh. Some of the storyline was, like, clearly
it was
a
so
little bit created.
I think the problem with a lot of the biopic-y sort of, not, this isn't just racing, but, like, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Rhapsody is incorrect about many, many things.
Right, and just was, like, but just like terrible. Rush is incorrect about many things too, involving like talking about how Lauda got the car to be like, was it 3 seconds faster or something because he worked overnight in a garage by himself on a Formula One car.
No, I actually thought that he did actually have some input in tuning the chassis.
He did,
that
but not overnight. To make the car.
Well, they have to make a singular hero. That's the problem.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it can't be the team built it together in for Hollywood, which is silly.
Right. And just like the Elton John movie, which was also awful.
No, the Elton John movie was horrific.
Because I think you told me this, and I didn't believe you. It's a musical.
It's a sneak musical.
But you, I went into this thinking it was going to be like, oh, you see concert performances, you see all this shit. And no, all of a sudden, there's just a kid singing Bitches Back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is this like, child singing the Bitches Back?
Why is your agent breaking into songs, sir?
That's how life is.
Fraudulent movie.
That movie made me mad because I like Elton John a lot. And that,
no, that's real. That's how Elton John's life is. Everyone just sings to him. That's where he gets all the ideas.
He goes to an AA meeting and starts singing. The whole movie was based on an AA meeting that he was in, and he started singing immediately. Like, he started like singing Saturday Night's All Raver Fighting, right?
I wish that was incorrect, and it was not.
The third step in a high heel is worth four steps.
It was. Movies are bad.
All right. Well, tomorrow when we podcast with Ed Niedermeyer.
I'm going to do it. Kevin Mattson had.
You'll be able to talk about the Corsair Grand Touring.
We will also, since the embargo will be up on that, and we'll be able to talk about how we liked Ford versus Ferrari. Mm-hmm. I suspect it will be entertaining and decent.
It probably will be.
Entirely accurate. I read 24 Hour War. I know how it's supposed to go.
So well, there you go.
So there's no spoilers in this fucking story.
I don't really understand. So there's 24 Hour War and Go Like Hell and Ford versus Ferrari.
I'm sorry, not what 24 is Hour War. Go Like Hell is A.J. Baim's book. Yeah.
That's what the movie's
based
on.
I've read.
Yes, 24 Hour War is Adam Carolla's documentary based on A.J. Baim's book. And then this is the fictionalized...
Wasn't this a fictionalized adaptation of AJ's book that they stiffed AJ on?
That they kind of fucked AJ on.
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word stiffed because I don't think they...
Maybe not stiffed.
So just to be clear.
I think they paid him and I think he got fucked on credit.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, this movie about a gigantic corporation fucking a small-time outlet features a gigantic corporation fucking a small-time guy trying to write a book about it.
Allegedly.
Okay.
As it turns out.
Cool.
Yeah. Hollywood is not...
I'm so glad
nice
Ford
people.
Won.
And without them winning, we wouldn't have the Mach-E.
Freedom.
And we wouldn't have won about the trailer.
It was
Willow
in the 60s, but we would have
exactly
read
the same.
Yeah, it hasn't changed a lick in 60 years.
The fun thing about it is it was in the 60s, but if Ford lost retroactively, we would have lost World War II. It was that kind of fight for America. So thanks, Ford.
Big stretch there, Mac.
Well, yeah. Wait, what?
I'm just saying,
exactly.
Ford did it for America. Ford did it for America, not for them.
World War II was a little bit before this. Okay.
That's the World War II guy, man. You got to talk to Kyle.
He seems like a bigger fan than I'm comfortable with. he knows phrases like Wehrmacht and, you know.
We did it for Dale, boys. That whole war.
God. He did it for Dashiell. I don't know.
So the decade is ending. Did you hear about this?
Someone said.
This sounds like a Leno joke. Continue.
Yeah. So the decade ending. And, you hear about this guy? No, so we were having a debate in Slack earlier about what the most significant cars of the decade are.
That article might have went up.
Did it actually?
I don't know.
Did you write it?
Well, I wrote it because Aaron was like, I wanted it as soon as possible. So
he
I wrote it
because he had a day off from the Mustang E launch.
Well,
and a new iPad Pro to write the article on.
So I lost Wi-Fi 3/4 of the way through the flight, so I had no idea that the article was done. Yeah. But
It wasn't clear in public Slack that it was done, but Aaron's like, are you working on that? I was like, I don't know. It felt like people were still mad about the results of it. So
yes.
I don't know.
Well, what were the results?
So, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, so what do you think?
What do you think the most significant car of the decade? Just go into this blind. What do you think it is?
Oh, man. Do I want... is it enthusiast focus? Should I assume that?
No, just... No. What do you think?
Okay. I've checked. It's not.
Oh, man.
Tesla Model S.
Maybe the Model S. Maybe the second gen Prius.
Okay.
What year did the second
gen
Prius?
Wait, the second
Prius?
Gen Prius is a...
I think that was a...
First gen Prius was 97.
Second gen Prius was 2006.
Might have been,
We're talking about a decade. So 2010 to 2019.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Volkswagen diesels were kind of
that's not
we talked about that.
Yeah,
we couldn't pin that on one car.
But that's different because that wasn't a thing that when it came out it was significant, right? But it became significant through what it did to the industry at the time.
I still think that fits on the list, though.
I do
right?
too. Yeah, but just in a different way.
Because it then changed the course of everyone who's going diesel. They went, oh shit!
They went electric.
Model S is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Like now, that was what we said.
Would you include more than one Tesla?
No.
No, exactly.
I initially had the Model 3 as the second. I think the Model 3 is separately significant.
No,
I don't think so.
Because it became like a volume selling vehicle, which was a different thing than the Model 3.
But it all starts with one of them, right?
Okay,
and that stuff trickles down.
Well, you won.
Yeah.
I mean,
no matter what, I win.
Yeah, I don't think the Model
I thought I was your boss.
That's a
the
weird
Model
structure
S
we made.
Is a good answer,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, but we have what else is on that? We had we're also debating the ND Miata being on there.
Well,
did I put
that
on? I
might that not would be that the on. Travis Sikulski choice.
Yeah, I want to say that as a joke.
Yeah,
no.
I argued against the Miata being on there because I don't think that was largely significant. Like the 2016 Miata was not largely significant to the industry in regards to no one really responded to it.
Excuse me.
Mac, it's been great working with you.
Yeah,
nice having you.
Well, I get Bob has fired me 6 times, and I've worked there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know the Ferrari 458.
Yeah,
is I don't think more significant than the Tesla, but just as a difference of opinion, the Ferrari 458 is the first Ferrari that was really a very normal car.
Mm. Yeah,
and the first car, there's a lot of 458s with a lot of miles on them and that don't break now.
And it changed a lot of things for the supercar space.
Yeah.
It seems like because they
finally were like, these things need to work every day for people. And
it was almost like an elevation of the R8 in some ways, which was like, this is, you could actually do this every day. And then Ferrari came around and said, maybe we'll try that.
Yeah.
And they actually
pulled
it
off because the cars work now.
Yeah.
I argued for the McLaren MP4 12C for a similar reason of it rode well and it launched McLaren back into being a brand, and that has caused, I think, Ferrari and Lamborghini to step up their game a little more because it's not just those two anymore.
It's definitely caused YouTubers all over the world to step their game up.
Or step directly off the road into a hedge.
Well, didn't the 458 and the 12C come out at the exact same time?
2010.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, has it been that long?
What was the first sports car that had PDK?
997.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
I got invited on that launch as a representative of Garage 419, and I was overtaken by Emil Rensing, who went on the launch and did not produce any content whatsoever from that launch and is now in prison.
And it's because of that launch.
It's because of that, actually. Yeah, he went and learned
that. Was the free gift, actually, that year. It was weird.
Trip to prison. Yeah.
You get 10 hours of lawyer fees. Yeah.
Yes. Or not reporting income from press trip gifts.
Oh,
my God.
I think it was the C7 Corvette launch where I saw, within 24 hours, I saw, 10 press kits on eBay.
That was the Pebble Beach one, wasn't
it? Yeah. And they gave away these little, models that were, metal. I gave mine to somebody, but they were on eBay for, hundreds of dollars. It was very silly.
I don't know. How many cars were going to be on this list?
We had 10.
I just started with 10. I mean, it wasn't a fixed
What else
number.
Did you pick? Because we're just falling short.
The aluminum F-150?
That was number three, actually. And it wasn't just the aluminum F-150, but a lot of the pickup truck stuff about making a very luxurious pickup trucks, just lightweighting in general.
Raptor, maybe?
Well, I kind of bundled that in under F-150. Yeah. Basically, all of the big trends we've seen in pickup trucks in the last 10 years start with the F-150, right? The number two after the Model S was actually... We couldn't come up with a fully just representative one of this, and we just kind of broadly put the crossover, because you can't...
crossover?
But that...
We couldn't...
I
don't know. You don't want to give them credit.
This was
you don't want to say the RAV4. Yeah, that was your... And what I said is, if you want to pin it on one car, if you want to say, this is the reason that 70% of the market is, light trucks now, you would actually have to pick the 1999 Lexus
RX
330.
That's what I was saying. But that's too old.
But you can't be like, the car of 2010 was the 19...
The decade of crossover, and the crossover killing the car, basically.
Yeah. It's kind of a cheeky, Time Inc., the 2006 person of the year is you. It's that kind of thing. Three was the F-150. Four...
The Mustang was on there.
Yeah, the IRS, 2015 Mustang.
IRS, Global Mustang, Global right-hand Mustang. Drive,
yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay.
What else is
Renault
on there?
Kangoo.
We drove one of those.
I was just watching that last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was really fun.
Oh, thank you.
Does the C8 make a list like that?
No,
it didn't
it's 2020.
Come out this decade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We. Oh, you know what we put on there? The Ford Police Interceptor Utility, because that is the first different police car there's ever been, really.
Okay.
Like, the first time that you've completely redone that.
I mean, before the Crown Vic, there were still cops.
The Volt,
was 2009.
Yeah.
But I love the Volt, but the Volt I still don't think it makes that list. I love the Volt so much.
I love the Volt.
Mm. You should get one.
And the Hellcat.
Get a leftover one. Hellcat, I would buy.
918 yeah. Spider is a stand-in for all three of the hybrid hypercar things.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they mattered, I think. And and then the Hellcat.
They did. It's going to get everybody used to, like, it's a transition of, hey, eventually
these electric things can be cool, which is the big reason the Model S was number
one.
Yeah,
I think Model S covers that pretty well.
And then Hellcat.
I don't hugely disagree with anything there. I think that's a pretty good list.
Cool.
Oh, and the 2014
you needed it.
2014 S-Class was one of them.
2014 S-Class.
I think so.
Because of the Spa Air.
The Spa, but the because we had a lot of things on exterior, but the interior design was like a new thing.
I mean, if that's the case, you got to give the Phantom and the Starlight ceiling.
Yeah.
Starlight ceiling.
They were telling me that the Cullinan now has a shooting star.
You haven't seen that?
Yeah. No.
Have you seen the animation of it?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
You want to hate it just based on principle, but then you see it and you're like, fuck,
hey,
if
Siri,
I had the
money.
That's the whole thing. That's the only thing I want to test in that thing.
Yeah.
I just want to see it do the shooting star.
Lights up.
Yeah.
Lights down.
Lights down.
Lights up.
I talked to the Rolls Royce dealership, and I had like a long interview, and he said basically you can identically spec a car for everything a person wants. You can have it sitting there today, and if it doesn't have the headliner, that's the one thing, they'll just walk. They won't
Wait,
do it.
Every Rolls-Royce buyer gets the headliner?
He's like 85% plus of my customers get the headliner. And the Cullinan, in the first year, you couldn't get the headliner at all. And he said, I have about 15 people saying, yeah, when it gets the headliner, give me a call.
Well, if you're going to go, I mean, if you're going to spend $400,000,
you got to get the stars. Yeah.
They'll do this, and they'll do the headliner for whatever sky you want, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Man.
It's so expensive. I think, have you had a press car with it?
No, the only Rolls Royce I've done was Dawn, so you couldn't get it.
It's 30 grand?
I think it's 30K.
Who was the drunk guy that shoved like a spaghetti LED light into a headliner and went like, this is 30 grand.
I've got an idea of how we could bump up the prices a little bit. You know, you could get all the stars on the internet. You copy and paste, and the lasers. We have the laser cutter for the interior. It'll shoot on the headliner, and then you put the fiber optic cable in it, and people will pay a lot of money to get blown while looking at the constellations.
Yes, darling, I will have another gin.
Because actually, I mean, I'm sure that nowadays you can get the constellation, you plug it, like everything's like laser controlled, and it just goes, and then someone has to plumb all the wiring.
It's a lot of LED, it's a lot of fiber optics.
So much.
There's a girl that is a fan of this show that has a Subaru show car, and she DIY'd it.
I knew
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. I knew that had to be a thing.
Google DIY Starlight Hellliner. Oh, that says, $12,000?
Oh, that's
2018? I think the shooting star was...
No, so it's got to be extra.
What he told me is it starts at... like 11 or 12, and then if you want it to be customized, it's over 30.
I'm sure. Yeah. Because they probably just
And if you don't get it customized, are you poor? Are you
Why are
seriously?
You getting a Rolls Royce without a customized
The Rolls Royce under the stars. Mm.
I mean, some people like to save money in weird places.
I mean,
places.
Look at that, though.
Wait, does it have clouds?
They have clouds now.
Why?
That is crazy.
We gotta get a Rolls Royce.
What we're looking at is inside the ceiling of a fixed roof vehicle. It's just fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That one is sort of done in a 3D perspective, kind of, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of, it might be a rendering. They have, you know, the windshield and windows blocked off.
Can you spin that?
Is that a thing?
It feels like it's a Photoshop.
Nice. It's got a mouse, but it's not doing anything.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys want to drop some acid?
Oh, wow. This guy's got the map out with the fiber ops going through it. Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Oh, this is pretty cool.
This is pretty rad.
Go to RollsRoyce.com and go to like the under the stars. Just search that. This is pretty rad.
Holy shit.
Those are hands. They're just pulling them through with little pliers.
And poor Nigel's got to be back there putting them in star by star.
Thanks for the great idea, Nigel. Now we've got to pull 20,000.
You know what'd be cool?
Rocks.
You got to get Neil deGrasse Tyson in one of these. Because he's all about looking for accuracy in movies and stuff. And he could just, you could do a video with
him.
They're
not actually that close in real life.
That's all he said.
That's also not what he sounds like.
Are you sure?
He just did a generic nerd voice.
It sounds a lot like him.
It's very similar to my voice.
He's like James. He's got like the resonance, and you're just like, that's actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyone who says actually, like,
yeah, Luke, I am like your father.
Crazy.
You know, in Star Wars, the ships aren't actually accurate.
Okay, Rick Moranis reading for Darth Vader. Thank you very much.
Let's go to the people, Zach. We've got a lot.
A lot.
And
I saw one that's just sleepy eyes, which seems to bode very well for how we did today.
Yeah, he gave us 99 cents to tell us that we're boring.
Nice. Cool. Well, thanks, man.
I mean, you could give me, you want to give me 99 cents to tell me we're boring? Like, cool.
All day.
Yeah. I won that.
Yeah.
If you paid me to say virtually anything.
Because people tell me that for free.
For free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna skip some of the more traditional what sports cars can I get for 20K, which happens very frequently because we have guests. Jordan says, do you think if the Mach-E takes off, other manufacturers will paste their famous sports car names onto electric crossovers?
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
This whole industry runs on cynicism, and if they can make a buck, yeah. Fuck it.
I mean,
fuck,
they're already using the turbo name. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yes, it's already happening.
It's a gateway drug to the next thing. So.
I think, yes, it's definitely.
I don't think Chevy would ever do that, though. They wouldn't, like, for instance, ruin the name like Blazer. Like, that's just not something that's in them. So
the Dodge,
like, Mitsubishi
Hellcat
would never ruin the hollowed.
Yeah, that's way worse. That's way worse.
Oh my God.
No, there's egregious like ruining of nameplates, yeah. But I think Mustang. I thought Mustang was worth more than this. I guess not.
Nope.
McLaren 720S.
There you go. Galaxy's great.
That would be perfect.
Lightning, Galaxy, Fusion, yeah, all of these are.
How much time on this podcast would we have spent talking about this if it wasn't called Mustang?
I mean,
that's why they've
been talking about more substantive things.
Yeah,
than
that's
name.
Fair.
Because
yeah.
Any news,
but like
is
the
good
New
news.
York Times sent out a push alert saying like, "Oh, the Mustang is electric now." Like that's what they want. Well, they want people talking about it and then getting mad and then tweeting
whoever
about
wrote
it.
That is wrong and stupid.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
frankly, Nate says, "How important are box and papers for Rolex Panerai watches?"
Very, Nate.
10 to 20%.
Sorry,
10 to 20% is your difference.
You're way cooler if you don't care about it, though.
You could care. It's money. It's real money.
It's just
but
weird.
It doesn't matter if you they like less money in, less money out. You know what I mean? You save money by it not being there when you buy in. You can't sell it for as much on the way out. It's just, but you're getting the same fucking watch. Nobody gives a shit ultimately if you have box papers except the guy you're buying it from and the guy you're selling it to.
Amen.
Miguel Flores, is Doug coming back on the show? Doug DeMuro has an open invite when he's in town, as does Mr. Regular. Neither of them live in L.A. What are your thoughts on Cletus McFarland? I don't have any. Never met the man. That's a real person, right?
Yep.
Never met him.
He builds crazy shit.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You know? His channel, LS
his
carts
channel
and stuff.
Is yeah. Sweet.
Do you know him?
I've never met him, but I would happily have him on. Cause
if he's around,
does
he live around here?
No, Florida, I think.
Oh, well, that sounds far. Yeah, if he's in L.A.,
should,
come on down.
You should have him on.
Hit us up.
That sounds far.
Sure. Okay, Zachary Machado wants to know, what are the cons of going from a Mark VI GTI to a current-gen Charger RT or Scat Pack? I'm only seeing pros. I'm tired of front-wheel drive and being in a small hatch. Well, a pro is you would no longer be in a front-wheel drive small hatch.
The con is you'd be in a car that's about 25 years old.
You'd be in a very old car that's very heavy and very big.
But it has a V8.
But it does have a V8. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does have good balance.
They ride
They're
nice,
not
yeah.
terrible
I
cars.
Like
yeah. They're nice cars. But, I mean, your fuel economy is going to be a lot worse. It's harder to park. It's just, you know. But those are the cons are obvious. You can tell them by looking at it. If it fits,
it's not it's not a complex car. When you look at it, it kind of does what it says. I mean, it weighs more than a Honda Pilot, but you know, it's fun.
Nate wants to know. Oh, Nate likes the watch and listen episodes that I did about the history of certain watch companies. Have we thought about doing that for car companies? No, because that requires research. And I managed to do this podcast for 9 years without doing lick of research. So yeah, name a dead car company that deserves a second life.
Oh man,
Duesenberg.
Boy.
Sure.
Doozies. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Why not? Fiat.
Avanti.
Yeah. Yeah. Chrysler.
That's brutal.
Have you seen the Mustang Avantis? There's a couple guys running around LA where it's like 05 Mustangs with Avanti bodies on them.
That's cool.
Not
I drove a Fiat Tipo last week. Estate.
Like. like old
with a no brand new one.
What's a Fiat Tipo Estate?
It was actually damn good, and it's a shame we don't have these in the U.S.
Is that a minivan?
No, it's a they call it an estate.
Wait, did you drive this? Is the first thing you drove? To get to the first thing?
No. We had a Fiat 500X to get to the Dallara Stradale.
This is on the way to the Dallara Stradale? Yeah.
Kyle drove the Dallara Stradale last
year. Can you talk about it?
Yeah, sure.
Is it awesome?
It's incredible.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
we spent so much time on door. Well, no, the door handles was good. But we could have shortened some other. You guys got to speak up more.
Yeah.
Well, because when you get on door handles, you don't want to sideline it for like the
Wait,
Dallara.
Forget this stupid Fiat. What about the Dallara?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh man, it's nuts. So the project manager told me that this is the first Dallara road car they've ever built, and it's going to be the last one. They basically built it as a way to show other manufacturers and race teams, like, we're at a capacity now where we can produce carbon parts at such a rate that you guys should come to us if you're looking at doing something like this.
Huh.
You know, because they're building chassis for Formula One, they're building LMP prototypes.
Car, right?
They Indy do cars. All of the IndyCar tubs and chassis.
So it's like a marketing.
So it's
vehicle.
Like essentially it's a marketing vehicle to say, like, you know, kind of on the table, like, here's exactly what we can do and how well we can do it. They'll sell 600 of them from the sounds of it. They've sold most of them. And they've produced a, you know, I think 200 so far.
What's the engine?
It's an EcoBoost, a 2.3 liter from the Mustang. Or the
crazy looking,
sexy looking, I think.
Yeah, it's cool. It actually looks really nice in person, and you can get that kind of Barchetta setup you see there on the left.
The yellow is the yellow one on the right. Speedster? The one you drove?
No, I drove
the
that color.
Like a better KTM crossbow.
They built the crossbow.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder how much, how similar they are in feel. Probably not.
Well,
that
I, don't,
much.
I haven't driven a crossbow. Little. I mean, the thing weighs, I can't remember the exact figure now, but it's 500 pounds lighter than a Miata dry.
That's very light.
It's like 1,800 pounds.
Yeah. It's insane. And it's got 400 horsepower from the EcoBoost.
Did you drive it on a track or road?
I did both, yeah.
How was the ride on the road?
The magazine
surprising.
We
because
we work for Road and Tracks.
You guys don't always take things to the road. You don't always do that.
Yeah, it's surprisingly.
I'm going to find a track test in the next magazine and fucking mail it to you.
My Aventador SVJ test was track only.
Thank you.
Fine.
In the print magazine.
Send me the hate mail, kyle.kennard.
Yes, send it to me. I mean, it's kind of surprisingly good on the road. They call it Stradale, so it should be, that's Italian for
road.
I'll ask Travis here, he's our resident Italian. it's really good on the road. They have the suspension that they can raise and drop, and so when you're on the road you set it up, and it's got that little bit of
raise and drop with like a button, just is it air or
it takes
is
a long time
because it's probably bags, it's not the fast shocks.
I think it's that rotating thing where it's got
screw
the bump stops. Basically raise up the threads on the suspension. But it worked really well on the road. Very comfortable. It's got that thing where when you're in a really bare kind of carbon chassis tub type thing, like any hit like sounds like you're breaking the car, but it's not really that same report from the suspension. So it's like you're kind of riding and wafting along, but you're just hearing all these like bangs and pops and kind
Ford of GT was like that actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it looks
so that
pretty cool though.
Yeah. And it was really good on the track. I mean,
is it possible to get one in America?
Not yet, but they were kind of giving me that, like, you know, if you want one, you can get it here, but they're not doing the crash testing, basically.
Oh, so. Look, you got to do the low volume paperwork.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a way to make it happen if you want it, but and I would encourage it. I mean, it was one of the better cars.
What are they asking
ever
for?
Driven. It's it's going to be more than $200,000.
Wait, what? Never mind.
What? It's 168,000 euro, I think, base. And then if you want AC and you want the, they have like an optional exhaust. They've got the windshield and the doors are both optional.
You said they're not crash testing it?
Not for the U.S. Yeah.
$200,000. That's a lot of things I would take first, but that's pretty cool. I'd like to have a go.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of all the things we were talking about with P. Cody and some of the reasons they have a manual,
Oh, really?
And actually, the automatic transmission is an automated manual, like a rally
car. Really?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. But it's, you know, they focused on lightweight, on driver feedback, as kind of their primary objectives. And so what you get is something that's super involving to drive. And
is that gullwing canopy thing real, or is that a rendering?
Oh, no, okay. That's
so
real.
That's one of the optional roofs.
Yeah.
Roofs.
Yeah, that's the optional roof. It's
there,
really good, man.
I guess there's no roof if you go with the other
option. Your only option is roof or no
roof.
If
you spend the base price, you get no windshield, no roof.
All right.
And you're off to the races.
Andre says the C8 no longer has a manual, so is now the time to buy clean, well-kept examples of outgoing manual versions, or is the newest car the best, as your Corvette rule always states?
Grand Sport.
Yeah, an old Z51. Yeah.
Well, unless are they saying like buy it as if it's going to go up
as
in
if
value?
It's collectible, no. Or buy it because you want to drive stick more than you want to drive the new one?
Well, there's two different things there. Then I mean, if you want to buy if you want a more enjoyable car to drive, buy a C7 Stingray. If you want to have a car that will probably go up in value, then I don't know. I can't say.
You're not going to make any money on any brand new car right now.
You're not going
to
make
unless it's a McLaren's. Senna or a Porsche 918 or something that you had to murder a bunch of people to get on the list for.
Right. Roadster thing.
Do you think in like 5 years though, like right now, if you jumped on a C7 Grand Sport with a stick, which is going to be a lot cheaper now than it would have been since the C8's coming out.
Yeah.
Like, don't you think in 5 years, you probably wouldn't break even on it, but you'd probably do
all
right
about
on
where
it.
You buy it.
Yeah.
If you want to make money on a car or break even or whatever, you got to buy it really cheap.
Yeah.
You're never going to pay retail at something and then make money on it.
Sure.
You got to have the hookup.
Yeah.
Sometimes retail is cheap.
Yeah.
But but that's a very limited edition thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With something like a Corvette, like how cheap can you buy it now? Because it's still going to depreciate.
Yeah,
those cars aren't appreciating.
Yeah.
C4 ZR1s are in the hold section in Haggerty magazine this month.
Ah.
Isaiah Land says, "What do we think the affordable enthusiast car looks like in 30 years?"
Yeah, it's probably a roadster with two seats and a manual transmission.
You think it still looks like a Miata?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Do you like Miatas?
Yes. That's a good question, because things have changed so much in just the last 10 years that it's almost impossible to think what will look like in 30 years.
It'll be electric, right?
I imagine it would probably be electric.
Yeah. I mean, does it look like a stripped down, like the cheapest Tesla Roadster type, like two doors as short as can be, no real packaging constraints, and just as much power as you can fit in it? I mean,
there still seems to be that balance though, because too much power in a small package too much power still kind of sucks.
Right.
If you're trying to be just on the street having fun on a back road without breaking the law too badly. So if there's a way to replicate some sort of low power involving experience that has, I guess it's electric, probably still be rear wheel drive.
It's gonna be like e-golf.
Like a rear wheel drive e-golf.
Yeah.
In some way.
Electric Miata.
Is an e-golf front wheel drive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you watch Kamisa's YouTube videos, you'll see it doing front wheel drive burnouts all the time and that thing.
It should be rear wheel drive. It's fucking electric.
But it's a Golf.
So
it's based on a Golf. If it was based on its own thing, it'd be rear wheel drive.
I guess.
Yeah.
It should be based on its own thing.
Well,
we'll see.
In the future, every
30 years,
maybe
we'll have a rear wheel drive Golf.
Maybe we will.
Because it will no longer need to be front wheel drive.
Right.
Very possible. Out of convenience. Michael SWE says, I currently own a Lexus GX460, a Porsche 991 Carrera, a Mark II Sprite, and a 75 Mercedes 300D. I want a fifth car that will hold value for Kentucky back roads, 30 to 50,000. Air cooled 911, E30 M3, or Lotus Elise. Anything else I should consider?
Travis, take this one away for us here.
I mean, Lotus Elise, man.
I'll say E30.
That will hold value.
Yeah.
Every Lotus Elise
is $32,000.
Forever. Yeah.
You could get one. There's ones that sell that have 10,000 miles on them that are gorgeous, that have never had a problem. They're $32,000. There's ones that have been thrashed to hell. They're $32,000. There's ones that have been crashed. They're like $28,000, and they have a salvage title. So it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got every other angle covered, including Porsche, E30 M3 could be fun. Could be interesting.
Can you get a good one for less than 50?
Can you get a good E28 M5 for less than 50? Because I'd rather own that than an E30 M3.
You might be able to.
If you can, I would get that. That's a more fun car.
I think you still can with a few miles on it. If you're not going for like some, collector special, you can get an E30 or an E28.
Yeah.
Someone told me that the Elise, if you need to replace the master cylinder, you have to take the clamshell apart. It's like it's buried in front of the engine or something.
There's a lot of maintenance things with it, like the floor. You have to take. I was talking to Camisa about this. There's something like to do some maintenance on. I don't remember what it was, but you have to take it up and take the floor off of it. And to take the floor off, the jack points are the floor. So you have to put the car on a ramp and then take the floor off and then put it on the jack.
That's right. Because it's like it's 48 bolts for the flat bottom floor, right?
Yeah.
What
are the alternatives to those three that he listed, though? Because, I mean, it seems like there's.
I mean, Caymans and Boxsters. Yeah. You know, you get a lot of Cayman and Boxster.
Could you get a GT4 past gen?
No, not for 30 to 50. There's a lot of Corvette you can get for that.
Yeah. You could get a C6 Z06 for that, couldn't you?
Yes.
Maybe
C5. C5?
I don't know.
You can get a C5 for $12,000.
Yeah.
For a C5.
Not a Z06, though.
Yeah, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, they're worth nothing.
They came down a bit. What am I going to buy a second two-door sports car for the garage?
Yeah, don't you need one that has fewer seats?
You can do it for Dale.
Yes. Yeah.
You can actually do it for Dale in that car.
Yeah.
You could probably also buy someone's pretty nice pro touring muscle car that has some upgrades.
That's true.
Yep.
At a really fun auction that you could get drunk at and start bidding.
You could probably get a V6 Accord Coupe with
launch
manual.
Your Delta Integrale.
Yeah,
get one of those. He'll get you into that.
Yeah,
That's some suggestions.
Could you
get a R32
GTR?
Yes, you could get a great R32 Skyline. Yeah, and I strongly recommend.
Or
that.
You could get a Toyota Century.
They're fun too.
Yeah, you get like three of them.
Can you get three? How cheap are they?
At Dunkin', they're like $12,000.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah. Dunkin' Donuts.
Let's see. Ray says, I've got a Mazda Speed 6 as a daily. Does it count as a hot hatch? I want to see if I can cross it off my driving experience. Well, I don't know what the second half is. I don't think it counts as a hot hatch.
Because it's a sedan.
It's a sedan.
Yeah.
But it's a good alternative to an Evo or a WRX, actually. They're pretty fun.
And the Speed 3 of that generation was torque steery and a bit of a bully, and then this one.
They're still kind of fun, though.
Yeah, this Speed 6 was a lot of fun,
with
too.
With the all-wheel drive, it reins in the torque steer a bit.
Yeah.
Just, get the Veloster in and cross that off your list.
Somebody actually angrily emailed me and said that the Veloster N shouldn't be the car of the year because when the Fiesta ST came out and everybody was all about it, a bunch of journalists went out and bought them, and none of us have actually bought Veloster Ns, and so therefore we're not being genuine about it winning the test. And I had to respond that it does not say in the rules that the journalists have to actually buy the cars.
If that was the rule, there would be a lot of big problems.
That's what I said.
Year,
I said Motor Trend just gave the Corvette car of the year. I was like, how many of them just bought them? Yeah.
I thought they were giving those out on the first drive of the Palisade.
They are. They didn't send one to your house
afterwards? No, we didn't get free Veloster ends.
I get an employee lease, though, so it's all fine.
We also didn't go on the first drive of the Palisade, so that might be why we didn't get our free Veloster.
What if you give the award to the P1, like back in the day?
Yeah. 81 says, do you have any experiences with Rotrex superchargers? I've driven a few different cars that have Rotrex on them, including 86s like FRS or BRZs. I've driven a Miata that had one, and I found them to work well. The only downside to a Rotrex is they're more expensive than regular superchargers. Besides that, that was it.
Does anyone know anyone that's put a lot of miles on like an 86 with Rotrex? Like 10 to 20.
No, I'm just curious.
It seems like a really good combination.
The one that I drove was a Toyota 86 with a Rotrex supercharger on it. It was like 285 wheel.
That sounds nice. Perfect. Yeah.
It was a perfect amount of power for that car.
Great. I drove an 86 the other week, and I don't know why. It didn't age well.
No, the motor's
The motor
terrible.
Feels worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what Zach said on that comparison we did, like it's a motor that sounds like it's getting somewhere and never arrives.
Yeah.
There'll be a power.
Something's going to happen and nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David M says, did Chevy just kill the aftermarket for the Vette with C8? Since to change the cam, you have to take the engine out. Is the Corvette market based on how easy it is to put a cam in the car? That's sad.
In the perfect version of America,
the whole market is hinging on cam swaps.
In the reality, it's the number of Jake stickers they can sell that they can put on various parts of the car.
Do you have to do that, though? Is there a way maybe just remove like a rear bumper and some plastic and slide it in? Someone's got to figure that out.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a way to do it by removing the back half of the car and not taking it.
Put up the Bosey light.
Bosey, did he text you back on that?
He did, actually.
Did he really?
Yeah, but I might want to save it for a story.
Oh, is it that good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
If it's good, just answer, are there a lot or none parts shared between Mustang and Mach-E?
No, it's not that there are a lot shared between Mustang and Mach-E, but that there's another car that Ford makes that it probably shares more with.
The Edge.
No.
The EcoSport.
No.
Well, I guess kind of.
Maybe. GT. The Escape.
Look, okay, I'll just say it. It doesn't matter.
C-Max, right?
Hey, if you're a writer listening to this, this is our story.
This
don't
is copyrighted.
Take it. Parking brake switch from what he spotted so far, and maybe the shift knob from the GT500, but it probably shares more with the Fiesta.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I'm not reading the second test because that has the information on what it might share with the Fiesta.
Okay, yeah, there you go. You can have the story. That's fantastic. There you go. I don't know. I haven't seen what it takes to do a cam in it yet, but I hope the entire market doesn't hinge on that. And if it does, they'll probably find other ways to get power besides cams. What's that dude's name, Zach? Scroll up a little bit. What W. Ward says, what's the best three-row SUV for under $10,000? A Japanese one.
GX is good.
Lexus GX. Or a Volvo? Don't buy a cheap Volvo.
No, you never buy a cheap Volvo.
Old CX-9, maybe. Mazda.
Can you?
Don't go to YouTube and watch the crash test of that if you actually care about
your
children.
Yeah, if you have a family,
I actually talked to a friend of mine out of buying one of those. The overlap is fucking scary.
Oh, shit.
The CX-9, like, offset crash, it's really brutal.
The GX was a Land Cruiser... Like Prado, the Prado.
Yeah, in, Prado.
Yeah, like those things are. My parents had two of them, and those things are perfect.
Why has nobody set up a business taking Lexus GXs and Toyota Land Cruisers and Tacomas and installing the Arctic Trucks body kits and wheels and tire packages and suspensions in America?
Is this our job?
When we went to Iceland, it not only was so cool, but so obvious that somebody should bring this to America, and yet nobody has.
Well,
huh. Well,
I saw someone who had a Prado. The Arctic Trucks, yeah.
Next
get
time
that.
We're
get
on
a picture of that top left there. That's a good one.
And we've been
this
talking
is kind
about
of
it for
what
2 years.
Do. Yeah.
I did put see someone in Colorado that had a new Prado, like a couple years old, and it was a Toyota Prado, and that was what the VIN, but it was in America legally.
Well, they probably brought it from Mexico.
Yeah.
You get it in Mexico.
But can you do that?
I mean, was it registered in America?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah,
that's
it was on Colorado tags.
Oh, I wonder if it's a diplomat or something like that. But
wait,
like,
was it a... It was
no,
a,
I talked to the guy. He's like, I'm not going to tell you how I got it here.
He's doing something shady.
Yeah, that sounds...
incredibly
that sounds
shady.
Illegal.
Yeah. It sounds like he got one by the DMV somehow. Yeah. He told them it was a Lexus GX or he converted...
Or
a GX.
Or he probably just said it was a Land Cruiser.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. What do we got here?
We're nearing the bottom.
We are? Okay, cool. All right. Chrysler Crossfire SRT6 for a sporty used first car. Zach, take it away.
I drove one that had full suspension and like an external cooling unit in the trunk and a wing, and it handled great.
Really?
It was fucking weird.
It was an SLK.
It's an SLK 32. 85% SLK.
Yeah.
And he did like, he put some carbon, stuck on carbon fiber inside that looked like it was from the factory and made it look like a pretty dressed up interior. I was like, what the fuck am I, what is happening here?
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense, but it handled great. Couldn't feel shit through the steering wheel. That was terrible and apparently unfixable. But he had like wide square stance or wide tires in the front. He's tracked it 20 times. Dad rocks an Elise and they go to do track days together.
That's a
and
pair.
It's been pretty reliable, he said. His transmission is automatic and it is what it is. It's got a tune and it needs more tune.
Yeah.
Okay.
But cool. I was very surprised and impressed. And with a tune in the engine, it was quick. It's very strange. It looked like a steampunk a bit.
Yeah, you know, so buy a Miata, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be different. You know,
no, that's totally
different.
That is
different.
Yeah.
Ann Schutz says, buying advice, I need a reliable crossover or SUV for my wife. Need third row seating, daily and road trip use under $20,000.
Mazda 5.
Lexus, what can you get at a Toyota for under 20? I mean,
Highlander?
Highlanders. It's a three-row Highlander. Can you get for under 20?
Probably.
Yeah, I would say Highlander.
Yeah.
Or Pilot.
Yeah.
Pilot.
Yeah. Same car, basically.
Yeah.
Both
but
good.
Yeah. From different parts.
Could get an old Land Cruiser.
Kia Borrego.
Kia Borrego. That's a good one.
How did we forget the
parts
Borrego?
Parts might be expensive on a Land Cruiser. But yeah. 4Runners? Can you get a three-row 4Runner?
No.
No?
Is there a three-row 4Runner?
I don't think there is.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I would say Highlander is what you want, for sure. For your wife, Highlander. Will F. says, why do people own sports cars that aren't race cars, and while normal cars serve the same purpose of transportation? And also, how did I get into cooking? My grandma! Where did I learn my recipes? The internet!
Why
do people own sports cars that aren't race cars? Would anyone like to answer this? Because I have a reason, but I feel like all of you have reasons.
I don't own a track, personally.
Yeah.
Race cars are very good at being race cars, and sports cars are very good at not being race cars.
Yeah.
So race cars are very good at one specific task, and you know it takes so much tuning and work, and it's just uncomfortable and terrible in the wrong situation. So like driving a race car on the road sucks.
Yeah.
At some of the time, driving a race car on the road sucks. Hey. But yeah, it sucks. And so a sports car is fun.
I agree. Yeah. Sports car is about enjoying driving, whether that's in the normal situations or in a specialized situation.
Yep.
You could certainly take one on a racetrack, but anyone who's ever driven a real race car and gone, well, I'm just going to have this for fun and not for racing, you're fucking delusional.
Or an asshole.
Or an asshole. Yeah.
Maybe both.
Probably
and
both.
And if you drive a caged race car on the street without wearing like safety devices, like
it's more dangerous.
You could die very easily.
Dangerous. Yeah.
That poor girl that Randy Pope coached,
yeah,
who passed away last month. I don't know the details, but allegedly all that happened was she got in a very minor accident on the street, but happened to be driving a caged race car.
Please
don't hold me specifically to that, but that was what I was told about the car accident. You know, and she was like a talented, you know, racing driver, aspiring. But
that's
like,
too bad.
So yeah, race cars outside of racing are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh. Thank you for Pure Hard Styles. Andrew 31 blah, 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 says, for next year's P. Cody, can you please post the 3-hour-long winner debate as a podcast? That's
yes,
not a terrible
I
idea.
I wanted to do that.
That's not a bad idea. If you invite me next year, I will do it. That's okay. So that's what this show is.
The reason, weird. So the reasoning that we didn't,
innuendo.
We did, but the reason we didn't do it too is because the. And the thing is recorded. We have it recorded. But
oh, you do?
Yeah, we record it so we can get quotes out of it for the story. But if people know that they're being recorded for something that everybody is going to hear, then they're going to censor themselves, or they're going to try to be funnier or say things just to get a soundbite in instead of having the authentic conversation.
I wanted to just edit what we had, though, into a, like,
I think that's still, soundbite kind of thing. That's still something that, because we did... We talked about this at length, didn't we? I wanted to videotape it a couple years ago and have everybody, like, you know, because there's also some shit gets said that people will not, would that be, like,
young lion.
That's Travis's retirement plan, is blackmail of whatever's said.
No, what I mean is that we probably wouldn't be able to get some cars ever again. So, you know, there's certain things there that, you know, also it's like in the moment sort of stuff, but it's an idea to keep in mind for next time.
Yeah, I like I think your reasons to not do it all make sense, actually. Yeah. But it's a good request and also a good reason not to do it. Also, the second half of that question, how much power would you add to a Genesis G70 2.0T manual? I mean, look, here's the problem. That company makes a substantially faster version of that car already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know getting the smaller engine to get the manual seems to make sense. The V6 is a lot faster.
Yeah.
And the manual's not that good.
I don't know if you recently bought one, like, Keep it mild.
Wouldn't
and
you just add the power?
Warranty.
Yeah.
If you bought a new car and you've got a warranty, I would not risk the warranty. Instead, I would just enjoy the car for what it is.
Like, I don't think you could add 100 horsepower and 100 pound-feet because that's not how 2.0T engines work.
That's
a
huge percentage.
Yeah. If you do a tune and an intercooler and exhaust, you probably add 20 to 30 horsepower and 70 or 80 pound feet, and that's like within reason.
How much power does that thing have? 240?
Yeah.
So you're adding like 40%?
I don't think you're going to do that.
That'd be tough.
Without either reliability issues or the inconvenience of having to deal with E85 all the time.
What's the most powerful 2-liter turbo, though? Like, don't we have 300 and some horsepower 2-liters?
Yeah, I mean, you can easily tune up a Volkswagen 2-liter to that.
Yeah, so, I mean, why not? I mean, I'll just, you know.
Do it for Dale.
Exactly. Why not?
That guy gave you $50, too.
That's very nice of him.
Yeah,
I appreciate
crazy.
That.
Thank you.
The amount of money you donate relates to the number of characters you can put in your comment.
Oh.
Never
mind.
So but I just don't understand, the concept of buying the small engine and then trying to modify when they already sell you the big engine. That's just me. Mm-hmm. We have a vote for the aluminum F-150 as the most significant. I'm going to skip that one. Sorry, John. One vote for your horrible new Twitter name, Mac.
Fair.
What? Oh, John wants to know, what are the top five upgrades and you should do them to a Fiesta ST, I think that means. Just do the Cobb Stage 3 and get good tires and decent track brake pads and fluid. Stop there. Don't fuck with the suspension. That's all you need. Cobb Stage 3, track pads, fluid, good tires. Done. James wants to know, since trucks are getting so big, will Australian-style utes sell well in the U.S.? No. They tried that shit.
Yeah. Is the Ranger even selling well?
No.
Okay.
Because it's old.
You know why we like
trucks? Is the Colorado selling well?
Yes. I think it is.
Actually?
I think it is.
Because it came out like 2014, so yeah. It had the lead.
Still not selling as well as the Tacoma, which is surprising. True. But that's also, true. You know why we like trucks? Because they're big.
Well, I feel like the used truck market right now is pretty expensive because people want smaller.
I just want a Ranger with a short cab.
Yeah.
Short bed.
I don't think most people do.
Or a Stepside Lightning. I want
Stepside Lightning.
Yeah, there's a guy in my block who has a Lightning. So I love the Lightning.
Lightnings are
cool. The 2021 performance car of the year.
I love the Lightning.
They're silly, but cool.
Yeah. I mean, we've done the sport truck thing a couple of times, right? Didn't they have the Toyota, the Tacoma Extreme or whatever, and there was the S10 thing?
S10 was extreme.
X10 was extreme.
Was Tacoma?
Extreme.
It might have been extreme.
Might have also been extreme.
The Cyclone.
Cyclone.
I don't know how those sold, but it's just, it limits a truck to doing one thing instead of multiple things.
The SRT10 Ram.
Yeah.
That could do almost nothing.
I know. It couldn't accelerate. It couldn't carry anything.
But how much better is a Raptor than any of the...
It does all the truck shit.
A Chevy SSR.
HHR SS. Yeah. It was a really cobalt SS with a panel van on it. It was great.
Yeah.
No, medium-sized trucks, I think, would do well here in America if they would bring, like, a real nice new good one over, but I don't think utes are working. John, this is the same guy, Fiesta ST. Thoughts on going -2 inch on wheels? That's for Fiesta ST, so you have to go from 17s to 12s. 15s. Oh. I think you'd have sidewall flex, the tires would not be the tires you want to buy.
Go 16s.
I think you're going to have problems with tire sizes.
16s, though, are a weird size. Like, there's no good tires for a 16.
Yeah. Once you go lower than 17 in a modern car, you're going to run into weird tire size issues. I would definitely look at that first. And Mr. C says, for $14,000, should I get a 2011 ML63? With 150,000 miles.
No.
Or a 2005 Chevy SSR with 130,000 miles. As a co-daily with a functional couple old Mercedes from the 90s.
And those are the two
these
options?
There's got to be more options.
SSR.
I know.
Is this Freddy?
You've heard of other cars, right?
I can't fathom that for $14,000, what this guy wants. You'd think.
It's got to be Freddy.
Freddy posts himself.
Never mind.
And he also already has a 97 S600 money pit. So if you're looking
already
to get
an ML, he should definitely get the Chevy SSR.
Yep.
Why? Because Dale would.
Because carpeted truck.
Can we get Dale 2020 going?
I hope so. You know what I saw on the street today? A Dodge Dakota Sport convertible from like 91.
Oh,
do you remember that?
That's that good shit.
Yeah.
Remember the Dodge Dakota convertible? Know. Can anyone remember this?
Convertible.
There
it is
about.
In red.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That is the one I saw. That might be the actual one I saw.
The guy who sold me my own.
That's a real fucking thing.
Yeah. Are these gonna have to take back everything I've said about the Cross Cabriolet and the Range Rover Evoque convertible.
Take it all back.
So Dodge
did it first.
How dare
worse.
You? The guy who sold me my 4Runner.
This was sold by a factory?
Oh, yes.
The guy who sold me my 4Runner was selling his 4Runner because his lifelong dream was to own one of those, and he finally found one in Seattle and drove it back to Ohio.
I'm so glad.
And then
glad
his wife made him get rid of one of his other
cars. Good for him.
His wife left him.
Hey.
Like,
he's living
amazing,
the dream.
Isn't that amazing, the Dakota? Did you know that was a thing?
I did not know that was a
thing. Am I the only one that's into this?
I think it's rad.
I think it's rad.
Am I the only one who knew this
was
a thing?
I was literally driving through Rio Del Rey in my Aston Martin, and I... Dakota Spark Unbeatable to this like hippie girl who was driving it almost certainly.
She had no idea. She just knows she has a convertible pickup truck and not.
If you just can't wait to get to the lake, on your way to the lake, Dakota convertible.
It was fucking
rules.
Get some sun on the
way
to
the
sun.
You know, this team tried to product place this in Back to the Future.
Anyways,
oh, God.
Listen,
yeah.
Marty
yeah.
would totally drive this to the lake.
That's the Jeep Gladiator.
It is.
Yeah,
terrible.
There it is.
Yeah. It is. Oh, all right. Anything else before we get out of here? Randy says, would you rather own a Crown Vic as your only car or have your liver eaten by a bird every day for the rest of your life?
Crown Vic is your only car, not that
You
can make a Crown Vic anything. You can make an off-road Crown Vic. I just saw a Crown Vic that runs eights in the quarter mile.
The only thing you need to do to make a Crown Vic decent is take the bench seat out and put in a reasonably comfortable seat.
Disagree.
Because the bench seat is terrible.
No, you need a bench seat.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Scoliosis.
Listen, bench seat he has
is
back
real.
Problems. I had back problems, and both of us are all fuck that bench seat.
You sit in it, and your body just folds. I had to lean on the door.
But your friends
for years.
Are right there. It's a
Your friends, where are your friends go if you get bucket seats? They're there.
Yeah,
well, okay,
not in the
what
middle.
Kind of relationship are you trying to have with your friends?
You know?
All right, there we go.
Yeah.
It's the hand job seat. That's what that is.
You know. That's the relationship you're trying to have with your friends.
Yeah.
Justin Young, last question, says, what's a good steering wheel setup for my 500 horsepower C5 Z06? A good steering wheel setup, assuming you don't need your airbag anymore, is a Sparco or like a Momo style three spoke wheel with not too much dish, but whatever much dish that works for you. But I think you want to be at like 355 or 365 millimeters. Measure the stock wheel in millimeters and then subtract like 10 or 15. And that's what you want. Stock wheel's just a little too big on
that. I've got one Momo story just to get out of the way.
Well, please, but don't hold back.
I in one of my finest prospective buying moments, I bought one of those limited edition Magnus Walker steering wheels because I fucking knew that in like 3 or 4 years they were going to be worth some money. Sold it last month for $700.
I hate you.
$700. What was this?
Flip market.
I don't know what this was.
For the Magnus themed motor.
Yep.
Momo Prototipo wheel. I had to insult Magnus to his face once. He was like, mate, I'll get you one for the Mustang. And I was like, Magnus, I am not putting your fucking name on my car. Piece of shit. I said, get me one that doesn't have your name on it.
I had to sell my Jackie Stewart
$700 for that?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I have the Jackie Stewart Momo.
You have
a Jackie Stewart Momo?
No, I sold mine.
Is it in a car?
It was my dad's.
Oh,
it has
really?
it has like a etched signature on it. He had it in his
special edition Jackie Stewart.
They had him in like the 60s. You could get the Prototipo with like all the cool racing drivers from the time.
Cool.
And they had him etched on the wheel.
I think
they had like a Jackie X and like a Jackie Stewart and five or more models, and they all had different spoke arrangements. So like the vintage ones have turned into a thing.
Yeah,
and you used to be able to get them on eBay for $40. Yeah, that's
what
I
like about the Magnus wheel actually is the double wrap leather.
Yeah,
it's extra. It's extra thick.
Fundamentally, it's a good wheel.
Yeah.
I knew that the Porsche wankers would
be buying
this later.
Yeah. The wanker will be wanking.
Yeah, it's
at the cutting edge of wankery.
He's gonna get poached by Haggerty.
Get out of drawing. I love Magnus. He just bought Hannah. You see, he bought Hannah that beautiful Mercedes for her birthday. What a good guy.
Nice.
He bought her a 560 SL, like an 88.
I need to get better gifts.
They've been together for a while. He's a wealthy man. He's done very well.
Guy got the Ferrari. The Ferrari. And then
I'm pretty sure if I had to guess, he got that Ferrari from somebody that he made a lot more money for than he got to take home. That's usually the kind
Travis.
Of people who give.
How much money have you made,
Hyundai.
Travis?
Yeah.
There's the coolest thing in Guy Fieri's house. Aside from the $50,000 freestanding deli slicer that looked like a Vespa, he had a 5-foot pepper mill that worked.
Really?
The head of it was like a basketball.
That's rad.
I'm imagining just like a little amount of pepper in it too, but it's like this really...
Yeah, he used it on a plate. Like
gratuitous. Yeah.
Fresh de pepper.
Yeah. Did he have to use like a cone to like guide it in because it's so wide?
Like you're refueling a fighter jet.
It was awesome.
That's great.
This is this month, yeah?
Yeah, it should be. It's, so you should be getting it in your mailbox.
In your mailbox now?
This week and newsstands next week.
Is it December?
This is the December
issue?
January.
The December issue of Road and Track Performance Car of the Year will be on newsstands soon and will be in your mailboxes even sooner than that.
Yep.
And the 2021 Hyundai venue.
Thank you
venue?
For having me.
Yeah.
And including so many of my quotes.
Yes.
Yo, what? Someone said, ask me about my superpower. Everybody I sent the article to is like, what's your superpower? What the fuck was that? What are you talking about?
It was cooking.
It was just okay. I figured it was cooking.
Yeah,
dude, we ate like kings, man. I
no,
was
fine.
So
mystery solved.
I figured it was cooking, but I didn't know that was.
You were the only. You were the only reason that, like, I wasn't murdered for putting us all in an Airbnb.
It was nice.
It was nice. So,
I enjoyed it.
Well, you had your own room.
I had my own room.
Yeah.
But I cooked. I worked for it.
Yes,
that's
you did.
Okay. No, if you fantastic. Invite me back, I'll cook again.
Yeah, you saved my life.
Also, like you're on the masthead now.
Fuck out of here!
Yeah.
Am I on the masthead?
You're on the masthead.
No way! All right!
You're a contributing editor.
I can now send this to my dad and be like, see, I'm not a failure. Oh, and I'm on the first line,
It's alphabetical order.
Oh, okay. I won't bring that up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Masthead. All right. Mac Travis and Kyle.
Yeah.
Rodan Triznak Magazine. Fucking front wheel burnouts on the cover, bitch. No group shots here. I like that. That's a great
There's plenty
shot.
Of group shots inside. So
yes. Yeah. It was a really fun test to be a part of. The fucking roads. Oh my god, those roads.
It'll only get better next time.
Those were spectacular.
We did it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming in. For those of you guys with us live, we got Ed Niedermeyer tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific talking about Tesla, talking about Ludacris, his book, talking about urban planning. Ludacris's book, yes. He has a new book called Chicken and Pages. I don't know.
That was solid. Chicken and
it's a ludicrous album.
His album's Chicken and Beer.
Chicken and Beer.
Oh. Yeah. Did you hear me panic? And then
Chicken and
Beer.
Yeah.
So 6 p.m. tomorrow for Ed Niedermeyer. Thanks, guys. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is a microphone connection to the internet and ideally something to say. Are our t-shirts still for sale, Zach, for a little bit?
They have ended.
They have.
There will be more.
All right. Thank you for buying our shirt, the LS design, Simplify and Add LS. The new design will be up in a couple of weeks. That's our show. Good night.